Live.
And we're back.
I'm here.
I didn't go anywhere yet because we just started. So I can't really be back from a place that I never went to.
Right.
In the first place. So
I'm back.
It's difficult to say, really. I am here, and we're here, and this is where we are.
Yeah.
Because if we weren't here, we'd be somewhere else.
It doesn't matter where we are as long as we're here. It doesn't matter where here is.
It is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live is the name of the show, freetalklive.com. If you've never heard of us, please visit the website, freetalklive.com. I'm sitting here drinking Earl Grey hot.
Oh, yes, Earl Grey.
As a captain, I figured I'd take a page out of, you know, the book of other captains.
Right.
This one being Picard, who, you know, is infamous.
Oh, so I see how you're tying that in with Shatner, too, with the star date.
Right, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Wow.
And, like, I come from a long line of captains, right? Kangaroo, Picard.
Right.
Right.
Captain America.
Captain Crunch.
Captain
right?
Crunch.
You know, there's a bunch of these.
Hmm.
And, you know. It's just one of those things where I'm like, okay, well, maybe I can take little bits of other captains and incorporate them into my captainship.
The best of.
Yes.
The greatest hits.
Yes.
Right.
So in the studio tonight, it's myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will, LLC. Joining me?
Steve Classic.
And... question mark. We have one of our team of sorry, I have to say this right. If I say it wrong, it sounds like we're making drugs. If I say it wrong, a crack team of producers. There we go.
Our team of crack
producers. Not our team of crack producers, but our crack team of producers is standing by should this just in. Ladies and gentlemen.
It's daylight savings time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the third host of tonight's program.
Nikki Sunshine.
Welcome. Welcome.
This is cool.
Mr. Producer, can you grab one of the crowns over there for us, please?
Oh, I knew this was going to happen.
Can you? Yeah,
come
just
on,
one.
Come on, man. Like 30 seconds.
Just one. Just one. You don't have to wear it the whole show, but,
right.
You know.
That's
oh,
great.
And you gotta kind of put it on upside down. Because otherwise we might get like copyright infringement or something.
Yeah. Wouldn't want that.
I'm not sure.
Kerber Bing.
Yeah.
Kerber Bing.
Kerber Bing. Have it your way.
Oh my gosh. It looks far better on you, Nikki, than it did on Peakless Mountaineer, of course. Just so you're aware.
You can get that picture up on the website immediately.
Yeah, that you're just going to have to let the thing sit here, and that thing's going to be, and it's all weird. You know.
Well, it's falling off.
It is falling.
That's all right. I know how to fix things.
You are pretty handy like that.
No worry.
I'll give you that. The telephone number, if you would like to join us in the studio tonight, is 603-283-6160. Hold that, Nikki. Just hold
that's
it right there.
That's a good
there.
Photo,
oh,
too.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, that's
we
a
got
cool
a better
name.
One. All right. There we go. That'll be the thumbnail for tonight. Nikki and the Crown of Shame.
I know that first one was pretty terrible.
The second one's better.
Yeah.
Yeah, second one's better. We have many, many things to talk about. As usual for Sunday, we're over-prepped. Not only did every one of us sitting here tonight bring prep for tonight, but Richie Rich also, even though he's off tonight,
of course, yeah.
He chummed the water with, I don't even know, man, like a dozen or 15 things.
I think that's just what he does is look up that style of content.
For Sunday specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think maybe that's just, you know.
That's just him?
Trolling
I think that might just be him.
You think we're getting a little reflection of Richie Rich's online persona?
Yeah.
It's rubbing off on all of us.
But it's a solid excuse, though. It's like, oh, well, you know, Sunday content. Yeah. We get a little silly.
Just for the record, I don't want any of you rubbing off on me or rubbing off on me or whatever, however you want to phrase that. Yeah. So it's Sunday at Free Talk Live, and Free Talk Live is a pretty serious show for the most part. Like, we like to have fun, and, like, there's always some, you know, version of laughter, laughing at statists or laughing at government, that type of a thing. But on Sundays, we take it a little lighter than most of the other days. And so I saw this.
And it's St. Patrick's Day, man.
Oh, yeah. Yep. We had St. Patty's Day at a Jamaican place. Happy St. Patty's, man.
Hey, have a rum. Have some rum. Hey, we're multicultural.
Yeah, I mean, like.
Yeah. No discrimination
like,
here, you know?
And, like, I'm, like, more St. Patty's on every other day of the year than most people are on this day. I was, during the breaks in last night's show, I was talking with the hosts last night about, I don't like how, because St. Patty's is on a Sunday, all of the bars and restaurants, like, hijacked the entire weekend. Yeah. It was St. Patty's on Friday, yeah. St. Patty's on Saturday. Yeah.
Hope you
Saint
like corned beef
today,
and hash and Guinness. Right.
Corned
and,
beef brunch.
What's the other thing? Irish car beef. Bombs. Those are fun. We should have brought some of those. Well, I couldn't really partake.
If you ever go to an authentic Irish bar, you do not order an Irish car bomb. You order a car bomb.
Oh, okay.
You don't put the word Irish in front
is
of
it. Is that offensive? No.
It is.
Okay.
To the Irish.
Noted.
Somehow. I only learned this by...
by getting punched by a bartender.
No. I used to work at a place in Seattle that was in walking distance of an Irish pub that was open for lunch. And so I would take my lunch hour at the Irish pub. Hmm. And so I'm in there, and I think I took my lunch a little late, maybe around 2 p.m., you know, so like... you know, I'm
that's
almost
close to happy hour.
I'm almost finished with my lunch, getting my check, and like in walks, I don't know, half a dozen. I'm going to call them kids, right? They're obviously maybe just 21 in that range. Mm. And one guy from the table gets up, comes to the bar to order because there was only just one bartender in the place, and he's like, "Yeah, can we get 6 Irish car bombs?" And the bartender, legit Irish, right? Like not fake Irish accent. Like he was imported.
Like come on,
no,
let's
he
go.
Was like, he was like. So 6 car bombs then? And the guy was like, yeah, 6 Irish car bombs. And he goes, so 6 car bombs then? He like puts a dramatic pause into it. And the guy finally got, he's like, oh, yeah, right. I'm sorry, 6 car bombs. He's like, okay, I will make you 6 car bombs, right?
Wow.
And he kind of looked over at me as he was like going to make them. He's like, rolls his eyes like,
get a load of these
people. Don't
gonna,
know how to order.
He's going
to
tell his friend, hey, you order the second round.
Yeah,
let him have it.
So, yeah. How do we get on St. Patty's Day?
I said, Happy St. Patrick's Day, man.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah, Jamaican restaurant.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I even have my my decorations.
I am wearing a green shirt. I don't know that I intended to wear it today as a St. Patrick's thing.
I've got some USD on me.
It just happened.
Got a green cup.
I do have a green cup, yes. So, one cup, one dude.
That's it.
So anyway, here's the headline from, I don't even know what this is, USMB, USmessageboard.com. Mm. Man arrested after sending hundreds of used dildos to the White House on Valentine's Day.
Arrested?
Where's the crime?
I was going to, like, is that illegal?
Like,
I mean,
where's the... Like
it frowned upon.
Frowned upon, yeah.
Uncouth, perhaps.
Yeah. You're supposed to boil them after, I think.
Why were they? I mean, used? Were they?
Yeah, that's what I said. You said used, right? Yeah.
Let me reiterate.
Right. Captain continues.
Man arrested after sending hundreds of used dildos to the White House on Valentine's Day. So that's a loaded headline. First of all, man. Right?
Right. Hundreds.
Assumably, they're talking about a dude, right? Not person, right? Man, right?
Man.
Arrested, right? So the state came after him in some way, shape, or form after sending hundreds, not just a
that's
few,
a lot.
Not just one.
Not 99.
Right? That's like you're accepting donations
of
putting an ad out in the paper.
And not just hundreds of hundreds of
used. So where did he get all these?
These are the questions that I was like, wait a minute, there's a whole lot to unpack here. to the White House, right? Like,
the White House.
Did you ship them USPS, FedEx, right? Like, how did they get there? What method, you know?
Right.
And then on Valentine's Day, right? So, like, there's a lot of coordination that had to happen to make this thing go.
I could just imagine because it goes through an X-ray machine in the mail room. And I'm sure the mail room is not at the White House. It's probably at a postal facility or something.
the non-binary room, right?
Right. So it's got to go through
mail room.
It's the mail room. So it's got to go through an X-ray scanner of some sort. So, like, I could just imagine, like, whoa, what's this? You see all of these, like, open that up. I'm not opening that up. Like, I just sent it right over to Joe's office.
What are these? What are these things? All right, Washington, D.C. Kurt Fellows, that's the guy's name, the man in question. They claim he's age 67. So
he's getting Social Security.
He's lived a full life, right? Yeah. In order to make it to 67, one must have lived a full life.
He's been collecting them for 47. He's finally got to get rid of his collection.
Yep. It's a full life, all right.
It's a full life.
Kurt Fellows is being held by the Secret Service.
Shh. Wow.
Just don't talk about it. It's a Secret Service. Is being held by Secret Service at an undisclosed location after a shipment containing close to 1,000 previously used sex toys.
That's more than hundreds.
Yeah. The number just keeps going up.
Well, I mean, like, if it's less than if it's less than 1,000, then you can't say 1,000. You got to say hundreds, right?
Yeah. Close to 1,000.
But hundreds could also be like 200, yeah.
Right.
300.
Yes. Yeah.
900.
Yes.
Not out of the question.
Not out of the question. It's all up to you.
Fuzzy math.
Whose job was it to count them?
Evidence bag one, evidence bag two,
What did that particular police or Secret Service agent do wrong to get assigned the duty?
Yeah. I got bit by Biden's dog, and now I got to count the
of counting these. What did you do at work today, honey? Well,
let me tell you,
there was a box. You see, all right, so. This guy is being held by Secret Service at an undisclosed location after a shipment containing close to 1,000 previously used sex toys, in parentheses, dildos, arrived at the White House on Valentine's Day, addressed to President Biden.
Oh.
The letter attached to the shipment said...
Oh, it was a letter.
Well...
a love letter.
Look, you're not going to send this type of a gift without...
Your secret admirer.
Your secret... Well, they know who he is.
Without enclosing some sort of a note. Yeah. You know,
right? Well, apparently it was incriminating because they found the gentleman that did this.
The letter said, "Happy Valentine's Day, Sleepy Joe. Since you like to FCC all of us, why don't you go FCC yourself?"
Wow. That's good. I'm going to give that a round of applause.
That's a pretty good quote, right?
Yeah.
It's one I can certainly... applaud for certain.
Mm-hmm.
No matter who the president, like, I don't.
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah. So while sending an unsolicited shipment of dildos to the president is grounds for arrest. I'm not sure how that happened.
What law is he breaking?
Yeah, I don't know. Not to mention a possible health concern. The addition of the letter, which for reasons of national security, cannot be fully disclosed to the public at this time.
So there was more.
I ask you, it's literally what they're saying.
It's probably embarrassing.
This letter is a matter of national security. Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah. It's redacted. The whole thing is crossed out.
How is sending an unsolicited shipment of dildos to the president grounds for arrest? What particular law has been broken there? You know?
Hate speech?
But he wasn't speaking. He just sent a gift, if you will.
Well, you know how it is. They just make stuff up. They're like, yeah, that sounds illegal.
That's true. If you think you might have an idea, give us a call, 603-283-6160.
Any inside information.
Imagine being that guy's attorney.
Or if you worked at the FedEx facility, what's in this package?
Any explosives or chemicals or
yeah, usually they say like any lithium batteries, perfume,
liquids,
fireworks, alcohol. Yeah,
no.
Lithium batteries? I don't think so. We're sending them separately.
Yeah, I wonder if they were loaded though with batteries, right? You know,
that might be part of the, you know, like it could technically be an explosive of some sort. Yeah. Lithium batteries could explode. I don't know.
Do they put lithium batteries in these things?
I don't know, Nikki.
In these maybe. Human... I don't know. Don't look at me.
Is there any batteries in the Crown of Shame? No?
No.
No? All right. Just checking. So anyway, reasons of national security, the letter cannot be fully disclosed to the public at this time, has put Kurt Fellows at the top of the to-do list for the Secret Service. That's they wrote that.
I hope that letter comes out someday.
Federal agents went to Kurt Fellows' Montana ranch and arrested him without incident.
Oh, it sounds nice.
So he has a ranch, apparently.
So dumb.
From Montana.
He's got Montana plates.
Once in custody, the self-proclaimed patriot.
Self-proclaimed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean
that just doing that gives you status already.
Once in custody, the self-proclaimed patriot became belligerent and aggressive to the point where he had to be sedated and put into a straitjacket.
Tranquilized.
What? That sounds... I mean, someone who would pull a prank like this might be a little unhinged. I don't think it's illegal.
Like,
I don't think they should have sedated him. That sounds kind of crazy to like give this man tranquilizers.
Like this
straight
is
jacket. But
like I
yeah,
wish
straight jacket.
Straight jacket.
Throw him in the padded
yeah.
cell.
I wish that like I had thought of something like this as a publicity stunt for like my EP release.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. You know, put a little, you know, logo on each one of them or something. You know, I don't know. Like right. like somehow that would and then like the press that you get just from this.
Right.
You know, would have,
is worth the, you know, the secret location that they're keeping him at.
Right.
I don't know.
Maybe not the becoming belligerent and aggressive to the point where he had to be sedated. But then again, maybe they just said that that's what he did for as an excuse to sedate him anyway. Right. So they could do whatever they want, take him to their secret location without having to put a bag over his head so he didn't see where they were going or something. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not in the Secret Service.
We want the footage. We want to see the footage.
Letters from friends, family, and acquaintances are already arriving in droves pleading for the release of Kurt Fellows. It's clear his actions met with the support of his peers, just based on the number of letters and whatever that are coming in. It is understood that Kurt Fellows has been collecting used sex toys from like-minded women in the Montana area.
Like-minded women?
Do you
hate Joe Biden? Donate your used dildos today. That's what I said. That's what I said in the beginning when you first started reading it. He put an ad in the paper.
Yeah. In all 1,000 women in Montana.
Yeah, or modern day, what, whatever, like, Facebook post.
Or
like
his church group? Or like, I mean,
the church group.
Like how do you solicit nearly 1,000 of these things? You know, from somewhere in Montana.
Well, there could be more than one per person.
Did he put up a GoFundMe or something? Like, you know, like, I don't...
Trade in your old one and get a new one?
Oh, the dildo buyback program.
Right. We're going to destroy the battery so they don't know. They'll never work again.
Yeah, you can't write comedy like this. It's just not possible. Reality is stranger than
right.
fiction.
You couldn't even think, like, well, come up with a crazy story. Like, you couldn't even think of this.
Dear AI.
Yeah, come up with a crazy.
Please come up with a crazy story for Sunday night.
For Babe Valentine's
Day. We want Montana. We want dildos.
Patriot.
This really has it all.
Here's like 10 words. Go ahead, write us a crazy story.
And here it is.
Grok or chatbot or whatever.
We should try that. See what the alternate story is.
Maybe one day if I'm out of stuff, right? Like, you know, if we can't find like
content,
you know, maybe one day we'll sink that low, but hopefully that day will never come.
That could be good, you know, if you have a caller, call in and then give us 10 keywords and we'll come up with a story. We need a sponsor for that.
We would definitely need a producer to do that as well. It is understood that Kurt Fellows had been collecting used sex toys from like-minded women. I don't even know why they got to put that in there. Like, what do they mean, like-minded women?
They like to use dildos?
They all don't like Joe Biden?
Yeah. It seems like a way to, like, incriminate them in a way. Like, they're not...
Oh, they're accomplices.
They're not innocent. They also...
Many people in the New Hampshire, we'll call it Liberty community, people who want more freedom in their lifetime, will use the phrase like-minded to refer to other liberty-minded people. Yeah. So, like, mm-hmm. I hear that all the time. It means something to me that obviously it doesn't mean in this article. That's not what I'm saying.
It's a different kind of
different
like-minded.
Kind of like-minded, yeah. The not-so-like-minded in the Montana area. And that they, these like-minded women, apparently, were, quote, more than pleased with the idea.
Wait. More than pleased, period.
Well,
well, not anymore.
And then also pleased with the idea of the president receiving a giant shipment of their toys, their sex toys, for Valentine's Day. No official statement from the White House has been released at the time of this writing.
I could see that Jean-Pierre, the press secretary, saying something about that. Oh, no, that was we don't know anything about that.
They have a link to, it looks like, KVTA4.
Oh, it's
news.
Getting picked up by the wire, huh?
Yeah, I just want to see if it's word for word. It looks like it's word for word, the same article.
Headline on the Drudge Report,
yeah.
Which is terrible.
Wow, that is... This is one of these stories we have to keep up with, which means we likely never will.
Following up.
Some comments from below. Sounds like illegal dumping of toxic waste. Everybody does that. Number one, where do you get 1,000 used dildos? Number two, how do you know that they've been used?
There could have been some new ones in there.
Maybe they weren't used until they got to the White House. And then the White House was like, hey, look, free dildo.
Yeah, cool. Let's use them. Happy Valentine's Day. One,
but make sure you bring them back because they're not yours. They're for the president.
It's like a library, you know. You borrow it.
He's sleeping now, so.
It gives new new meaning to FJB, right? Somebody says you can get that number of dildos from eBay.
How do they know?
How do you know?
Previous purchases.
603-283-6160. Would you participate in this type of a prank? Would you
surrender your dildos,
your sex toy, and allow them to be part of a shipment to the White House for Valentine's Day to tell the president to go FCC himself? Give us a call. It's Free Talk Live. More is coming up.
Protection. Eleutheromania. The insatiable desire for freedom.
Filibuster. Police state.
It's the new three-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass. Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com.
It is Free Talk Live. Some guy in the background laughing at us. Thanks for funny.
Come on.
I think it might be that gnome over there.
Is it Gnome?
Yeah, Gnome.
No gnomes or good gnomes with Gary Gnome? Mm-hmm. No, there's like a certain age of people who know who Gary Gnu is.
No.
Gary Gnu.
Yeah.
Not me.
Sounds familiar.
No Gnus is good Gnus with Gary Gnu. He was
that does sound familiar though. What is that from?
He was an anchor puppet from The Great Space Coaster.
Ooh.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. If you were to use your magic rectangle and
I'm
search
sure, yeah.
Gary Gnu, you would it's GNU, right?
Yeah.
You would find a picture of a puppet reading the news. And that's Gary Gnu.
Gary Gnu.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Gnus.
I guess we're kind of doing news here, but it's weird news.
remember that periodical? It was called Weekly World News. It was in the grocery stores. Like, it was, don't know.
It's like the National Enquirer.
It's kind of like the National
tabloid.
But it was always like crazy things like JFK returns in a spaceship with an amazing new diet.
Right, yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah. It's just completely phony baloney.
President's daughter pregnant with alien offspring, something like that.
Yeah, just crazy stuff. Weekly World News.
All right. We were talking about this story that we found on USMB, that's usmessageboard.com, that was originally posted out of Montana somewhere. The headline reads, "Man arrested after sending hundreds of used dildos to the White House on Valentine's Day." He enclosed a special message. It says, "Happy Valentine's Day, Sleepy Joe. Since you like to FCC all of us, why don't you go FCC yourself?"
Amen.
And like, I couldn't find any crime here. Apparently, Secret Service thinks he's committed several crimes. He's been arrested and held at an undisclosed location.
Sedated.
And sedated.
Put in a straitjacket.
They gave him drugs and a straitjacket, yeah.
And now he's at an undisclosed location.
It almost feels like we're joking.
We're
but
not.
No, that's serious. Like, it was in if you missed the first segment, all of those details were in fact in this article.
They certainly were.
So,
and it's like, it's just another thing about politics. It's like, you know, this is a great prank. It deserves the press it's getting. It does not deserve getting arrested by Secret Service, right? You want to do an investigation on the guy? Okay, fine. You want to figure out that he doesn't like Biden, that's fine too, but like, where's the harm? A crime is supposed to contain harm to an individual or another person's property. Well, the White House is public property, so theoretically it belongs to all of us. So he didn't harm that property. No one, at least that we know of, was harmed in the collecting of these sex toys and the shipment of them. So other than a little bit of nuisance...
It's a practical joke.
Yeah.
Well, you know what it is. They're going to make something up like, oh, he was threatening the president.
They're calling it a matter of national security.
Yeah, national security. Okay.
All right. Well, if you have any comments on that, you can give us a call, 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, Captain's log, Stardate 03-1720-24 that I forgot of the first segment. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain.
Steve Classic.
And Nikki.
So we do have a number two story. We have a couple of them. We weren't sure.
Two number twos.
The one that you put in, Steve thinks, was covered whenever I wasn't here on the New Year's show.
Oh.
With the moose poop?
I thought that was a different one.
I don't recall the one
that
was in
here. Oh, there's two people
here
who do moose poop?
All right, well, let's do
this lady's from Maine. It is an old story, though. It was from 2018.
This could be an update.
She's been doing this for a while.
Because I know we went to Etsy site.
But
since we mentioned it, we might as well recap it. Right.
But I will give you a warning to censor yourself.
I've skimmed it. I realize that there are some expletives.
Because if you just read it, you might slip up. So
I will put on my best censorship hat.
Get your finger on the dump button.
This woman sells moose poop artwork, and her sales pitch will have you laughing. Mary Winchenbach, owner of Turdy Works, spelled with an I, T-I-R-D-I-W-O-R-K.
Turdy. Like, you know, three dirty.
Tree dirty. I'm telling you, it was dirty. Presented her sales pitch for her moose turds company at the Common Ground Fair in Unity, Maine. She really wanted people to buy her crap.
Well, it's not her crap.
Well, crap. It doesn't even say her crap. I inserted that. Yeah. Mary Winchenbach has a background in microbiology and chemistry, including over 40 years in food safety and health inspection. 15 years ago, Mary was walking in the woods and came across a pile of moose poo. "I thought, how funny would that be if those turds had eyeballs?" Mary told BuzzFeed. Mary began creating her SE artwork with a variety of punny names. Hopefully I can say them.
Hopefully you can say them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I can say them. Hopefully I can say them in the appropriate way that we don't get dinged by the FCC.
Right.
Dingleberries is one of them. SOS or S on a shingle, if you will. Mm-hmm. One of them is called Holy Crap. One of them's called S Weed, S Kickers, Crock of S, and S End of the Stick are just some of the pieces that she sells. She sells not seashells, nor does she sell them by the seashore.
Nope.
Mary told BuzzFeed a few years after starting her business, her and her partner Deb adopted three children with special needs, and she decided to put her crappy business on hold. Oh, I thought that's why she did the like she wanted to
make extra money.
Well, give her kids something to inherit later on. You know?
Yeah,
here you go, kids.
Well, that's why she adopted them for the she needed some help.
Kid grows up, mom dies, right, and is bragging to mom died, but she left me the business and everything. Oh yeah, well my mom died and left me like $100,000 or whatever, right? And the other kid's like, well, my mom left me was crap,
moose poop,
moose crap specifically. After 10 years, Mary returned to the turds and began creating and selling artwork made from the moose droppings. She tells us that the custom artwork sells for between $5 and $45, depending on the piece. So,
is it the size of the item?
Oh,
well,
man.
She said $5 a turd is what she gets. Yeah. So, I guess if it's a more elaborate piece, because some of them. She had a little, like, she took a few different pieces and made mooses out. I think they were moose that she was creating out of.
Moose-shaped moose turds?
Yes.
Wow.
And they were hanging.
That's creative.
Like a mobile, almost. They were, like, hanging.
We should buy one and put it up here.
We should.
FTL moose turd. She apparently sells clocks, picture frames, and ornaments, encouraging everyone to give an S for Christmas. Yeah. her things are completely safe to have in your home. They go through a dehydration process because, as she says, juicy ones are never a good feature.
Girl, the details we didn't need.
Once the crap is dried, it's then dipped in a secret coating to give it an appealing look. All right, so
an appealing look.
I have to pause. I have to pause this article right here. There's a saying in both the audio world of rock and roll, as well as the corporate world, of like when you're trying to give a presentation, you got a PowerPoint thing to do or whatever. If you try to polish a turd, it's still just a turd. Now it's shiny.
Yeah.
Right. So
that's what she's doing.
Yeah.
That's
the whole appeal, you know. Yeah.
So I mean, it's just a shiny turd now, so.
I kind of want to buy one of these things for my sister because her life dream is to see a moose, and
it
just
hasn't. Thing you're gonna get.
Yeah, it just hasn't happened for her yet. You know, she.
How is that her dream?
That's her dream
to see a moose.
Yeah.
Okay, look, man.
So anyone that sees a moose and tells her about it, she's like, "I'm not happy for you. I don't tell me about it." I don't want to know.
Does she know that?
Big, like a very jealousy, you know?
Does she know that occasionally zoos will have a moose? And that she could probably just go and see one at the zoo?
Really? You think?
Around
it's
here.
It's been a while since I've...
Around here, I would guess.
I would think those would just be wild.
Didn't you drag her up to Porkfest up in the
yeah,
White
she
Mountains
didn't see. She was really hoping that she'd see one.
Did she at least see the Moose Crossing sign?
She saw the sign.
There's a cartoon figure.
Bullwinkle. I pranked her and I texted her and I have a group chat with her and my mom and I'm like, oh my gosh, you won't believe it. I just saw a moose.
I'll send you a video and it's Rick Roll.
Yeah, it's, no, it was just a stuffed animal.
That's
moose
what I want.
That I like put outside. And
if you're going to contact this lady, can you get her to make one in the shape of Rick Astley? Because that's the one you want.
Rick Tootsie Roll.
Never going to give you
man.
Up. Mary says her... crappy artwork makes for a perfect gift. So there you go. That's about the size of that article.
this is not the exact article we talked about, but I think it was the same moose. It was a moose jewelry, moose poop jewelry.
Oh,
article.
Yeah. See, I think
there was another one too of, but it was a different animal, and I think they were importing it. They were it was like a TSA thing, right?
It was the monkeys. Monkey or giraffes. No,
oh, giraffe was the other one.
And then there was the mummified monkey jerky.
All right, so wait.
That was a different one.
Wait, let's just
recap. We
need
a best of.
Let's just recap the animals here. Giraffe, monkey.
Yeah.
Moose.
Moose. Am I missing
But the one? Monkey wasn't poop. It was monkey jerky.
Oh,
right.
It was like a meat product.
But I thought maybe I'm just thinking of monkeys flinging.
Yeah, they'll do that.
You know, okay.
Right. You're thinking of the first internet meme video with the monkey.
Should we go for a double flush?
Do it.
We're only halfway through.
Oh,
segment,
do it.
So. Double flush it is. Our other.
Our two ply.
Our two ply. Our second number two story. It's two squared. Comes to us from the New York Post. What makes airplane toilets so extraordinary?
They're loud as anything.
So whenever I think of airplane toilets, I think about the story of how supposedly, and I don't know any of this for a fact, it's just a story that I heard, that airplanes, when you do flush the toilet, the stuff that goes down the toilet goes into a holding tank of sorts, and then it gets ejected out of the plane into the atmosphere and can freeze.
No way.
I don't think that's
And
what
fall
happens.
To the ground.
There's a tank that they empty.
That's what I thought, but like there are supposedly there's
well, if they're over
no,
the
I think
ocean.
It's a story the cruise out there. Ships that do that.
There's a story out there about
yeah, they could dump garbage
about somebody
if there's
finding,
so many miles outside of
about somebody finding the ejected airplane stuff. If you would like to find that on the Magic Rectangle, feel free. I, you know.
Whatever you call it.
It's just whenever I hear about airplane toilets, that's the first thing I think about is this, like, cube of ass, right?
Falling.
Hurling, you know, at free fall rates
right
through the sky.
It's like the comet that goes through the ceiling or the guy's roof.
Right, and it would be, like... Like, I mean, if it happens over, like, a big city 30, or something,
30,000
right?
feet.
Like, that's one thing. But if it happens over the ocean, nobody's going to notice, right? It's the equivalent of if you have to pee and you're on a boat, you just sort of hang it over the edge of the boat.
Right.
And then you motor on your way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's... Anyway, just from the New York Post, what makes airplane toilets so extraordinary? Flight experts explain why they suck in a good way. Now, this is going to prompt some idiot to, like, put his junk into the airplane toilet because he read that the toilets suck.
And that's going to fall on the sky.
I wouldn't recommend
that.
There's
going to be an injury. It'll make another story for us on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So, right. You know, in one way, I look forward to that. But also, if you're listening to this, please don't do that. Please don't do that. Just because something has suction doesn't mean you need to, you know... Have your way with it. Airplane toilets suck. Literally. Airplane toilets are anything but a simple touch and flush operation. Flight experts wowed travelers after revealing the extraordinary amount of engineering that goes into allowing people to safely do their business at 40,000 feet. In general, the airplane setting takes the most mundane tasks from heating water to, well, using the lavatory, to new heights. Of difficulty due to safety concerns. I guess it would be a safety concern, right? You know?
Turbulence in the bathroom. Turbulence.
I had some bathroom turbulence earlier this morning. Turbulence. Everything is twice as hard on a plane as on the ground, says Al St. Germain, an aviation industry consultant who's worked for airlines including Delta and United. He told CNN, the criminal news network. Flushing airplane toilets with water is prohibited due to aircraft weight restrictions, not to mention that the water would slosh out of the bowl upon hitting turbulence.
Yeah.
May not be very pleasant.
So how do they flush?
Hmm.
Fortunately, scientists devised a plan B, air. That's right. Waste matter is sucked out of the plane using a differential pressure. Rather than the passive siphon system employed by most terrestrial toilets, in a system patented by James Kemper in 1975. When the laboratory users press the button, a valve opens up in the bowl, connecting to a pressurized pipe. This then sucks out the bowl's contents, like a high-altitude Hoover vacuum, hence the contraption's moniker, vacuum toilet, after which the valve snaps shut. It's like your vacuum cleaner. It sucks.
It's a explained, vacuum cleaner for poop.
Explained Nigel Jones, an aircraft engineer from Kingston University in London. The suction effect is caused by the natural difference in pressure between the cabin and the outside atmosphere that's generated by the plane climbing into the sky. Right. We've all seen this in the movies where, you know, the door blows open and somebody gets sucked out the door because they weren't fastened in appropriately or whatever.
Boeing comes to mind.
Boing. Yeah. We talked about them yesterday, too. In fact, the vacuuming occurs continuously throughout the whole flight, but we only hear it when the valve opens, right? So they can maintain a negative pressure. Right, yeah. Then, of course, there's the age-old question of where the contents go after getting flushed. Aha!
Ah!
Aha! We're getting to the flying cube of S, or at least something.
Frozen S.
Yeah. Contrary to popular belief, I wonder what the popular belief is.
Yeah, do people think about this frequently, or?
It's popular.
Ah, here we go. Contrary to popular belief, waste matter isn't just shot out of the airlock into the sky a la Goldfinger, but rather goes into pressurized waste tanks, which are generally located at both the rear and front of the aircraft. That's what I thought. Yeah, I want to know what the popular
Did people really think it just got, like, shot out of the airplane, though? That was popular belief?
A pilot named Garrett has gone viral on TikTok after giving the scoop on what happens to the poop after you flush an airplane toilet.
Thank God for that TikTok. On
your airplane and you got to go, where does it go? Said Garrett. Blah, blah, blah. Maybe flush toilet in aircraft doesn't, blah, blah, blah. It goes through plumbing to the rear of the aircraft in the seal compartments where the grounds crew and the destination will remove all that is waste. So there you go. Do you feel validated now, Nikki?
I do. Yeah.
Very well. You are validated.
It's no longer a popular belief that it gets just thrown out the back.
Yeah. These are then emptied into honey wagons. In the Washington State, Seattle area, there's a company called Honey Bucket. Mm-hmm. They're the local porta potty company.
Honey Wagon.
Yeah. Yeah. Honey Bucket. Right.
Honey Bucket.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are then emptied into honey wagons, special waste disposal vehicles that transport the contents to the airport for processing. While the mechanism may seem strange, vacuum toilets boast many advantages over their siphon-based counterparts, even for normal, non-plane-based installations. These include narrower sewer pipes, the ability to flush in any direction, as these loos don't rely on gravity. Wait a minute. So does that mean if the plane had to, like, spin upside down, and you were in the bathroom taking care of business,
it would still work?
And like, you flushed right at the moment it inverted, that it would still work? That's interesting.
I wonder if they have these on the space station.
Oh, yeah. What do they do? See, that's a better question. What do they do when there's no gravity?
Yeah, you know what I mean? If you've got a gravity
like the airplane, flush. I can kind of come up with an answer for that pretty easily myself. Yeah. But the spaceships.
You got a floating number two and you bag it?
Well,
I think I've heard of this.
Well, we know that things freeze when they're, you know, in space, right? Like a human gets, you know, y'all see these science fiction shows. Oh, we're going to shoot them out the airlock. And they do. And the person, like, freezes within, like, seconds.
Right. Yeah. But I have questions about the whole process. Like, the whole process.
Right. It doesn't, if you're sitting on the toilet, it doesn't just go down. It just stays right there.
If
I would imagine.
You're a former NASA
astronaut
and you've had to take care of your business, your number two on the shuttle
gravity.
Or in the space station, give us a call, 603-283-6160, because Nikki has questions.
I think we all have questions
about the whole
that.
Process.
Apparently, a lot of other people are asking this question too, because it popped up rather quickly on the search engine that I'm using. So,
and
what's the popular belief?
They use a hose with a funnel at the end.
They use hose,
and they hold it tightly against themselves.
They hold it for 2 weeks.
Well, because
maybe they don't
eat
very much.
As far as urinating, I get that because the body self pressurizes, and so you know you can sort of direct that even in zero gravity, right? It's coming out of you pressurized, So that kind of makes sense. But I don't get the number two part, right? Like, that's not nearly as
pressurized. Well, if they're eating Mexican, maybe they could yeah. Taco Bell. They get the
lots of hermetically sealed Taco Bell.
Exactly. Extra pressure.
Dehydrated chalupas.
Pooping in a bag is the what Business Insider has to say about this.
Oh, the old PIB method. I see. PIB. All right. Well,
is that Business Insider or doing your business insider?
Taking care of business.
Taking
insider.
Care of business.
Nobody's business insider. You guys are too much fun.
It's Sunday.
On average, vacuum potties use half a gallon or less compared to 1.6 gallons of water for a water-saving toilet and up to 5 gallons for an older toilet. Yeah, that's
5
right.
gallons?
Yeah, yeah.
On a flush?
Have you ever seen? No, that's an old toilet, like an old house toilet.
That has the pole big chain up above?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
5 gallons.
Or even just the big tank behind it.
Wow.
Like, they used to be super huge. Like, I think pre-1970 or something.
Yeah.
You know? And in fact, I live in an older house, and the toilet is older, but the valve that I had to replace the valve in it, I didn't have to, but I did when I moved in, because I'm like, that's the last thing I want to go wrong, right? You know? Mm-hmm. Got to have working facilities, man.
Right.
It's important. Right. So I replaced the valve in it, and what it does is it literally only fills the tank, like, halfway.
Oh.
It's the regular behind the toilet tank, but the new valve only allows the toilet to fill halfway before it cuts off, whereas the valve that was in it before filled it all the way. So you can see where the old line is. There's like a stain where the old line is near the top. And then now, since I put this new valve in it, the stain is like about half the water down. So it only uses about half the water for the same flush somehow.
Well, we don't have a water problem up here, that's for sure.
Right.
So you can get one of these high tank pull chain toilets from Home Depot for like a little over $1,000. They still sell them.
What a bougie.
Yeah.
That does sound bougie. Although
it takes 10. I want mine to have 10 gallons of water.
Yeah, there's no, I mean, like, they've already proven that you need, like, you know, maybe 1.5 gallons to, you know,
that's what the airlines
use. Do a regular flush. No, actually.
Oh, just in general.
Well, now, because we got some eco-friendly toilets with the buttons.
Yeah.
One
and those,
two,
I mean, they're really light.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how much water that uses, but it doesn't seem like a lot at all.
Mm. It's not much. So there you have it. What's your preferred method? You know, do you like the over the tank chain method? Do you like the behind the toilet tank?
Going out with the moose?
Do you like the low flow? Do you like the outhouse? The pit and privy? Give us a call. 603-283-6160. Still to come, how's the government gonna fix ice cream?
So the protection of life, liberty, and property is what the Free State Project is all about. But it's an effort to move 20,000 people who understand.
It's about demonstrating to the entire country
that, yeah, we can have a free market, a truly free market.
Making it just a freer, great place to live.
It's the world's largest voluntarist libertarian community, and it's only getting bigger.
That's amazing, to be able to move to a place where other people like passionately believe in being free and independent.
What the Free State Project is managing to do, though, is to put their money where their mouth is. It's physically getting up across the country and saying, let's go someplace and let's demonstrate the power of these ideas. There's a lot of kind of philosophy that surrounds liberty. There's a lot of thinking about it and talking about it. But here in New Hampshire, people are doing it.
101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire, a documentary by Free State Project Early Movers. Watch it free at 101reasonsfilm.com. 101reasonsfilm.com.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. Thank you for tuning in and listening. It's the Sunday night edition, hour number two.
Hour number two.
Maybe we should have saved the number two story for hour number two.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
And we need a sponsor. If anyone wants to sponsor the number two story.
An appropriate sponsor, right? Like, and by that, I mean something sort of adjacent to the aura of number two.
Right? Maybe the moose lady.
Could be a smelly thing, could be a crappy thing, could be a compost thing. I don't know.
What was the Monero one?
Oh, that was an S coin known as Monero.
Monero.
Yes. It was, I can't say the name of the inventor, but it was S Toshi.
Oh, that's good.
Kakamoto.
Wow. Right? The FCC would be very proud of you right now.
Yeah, this is very difficult for me, just so you guys know. Do not attempt to do radio like this at home. I am not even a professional, and it is difficult.
In a Sean Connery voice.
It was, yes, don't do that either. It was, Monero was gifted to us by the wipe paper.
Oh, man.
That's right, yeah. So at any rate,
keeps going.
Yeah.
That apparently, according to legend, and I heard this from a legendary person at Porkfest last year.
Yep.
That has now, whatever that infrastructure was, because they kind of had to do the thing to make it funny, right? It was a meme coin, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They were basically making a joke about cryptocurrency, and it was really funny. I thought it was hilarious. Their little icon was the turd icon from, all
your
chat apps or the emoji. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've heard the legend is that that is now Dragon X. So there's an actual privacy coin called Dragon X that you can mine with just like your regular laptop or desktop computers.
Wow.
It doesn't require specialized stuff. You don't need to build like a huge graphics card farm
order to
mine it. You can it's made
because that's
like,
what's tough about mining Bitcoin is you need.
Nowadays,
a lot of capacity.
Yeah,
because you need 5 gallons of water to cool that thing.
Yeah, that's true.
That machine off.
Yeah. Before we go on, Free Talk Live this hour is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. With fees of less than a penny per transaction, Dash is made for spending. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and it's in multi-crypto wallets. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. You can learn more at dash.org. That's dash.org. All right. So if there was a problem common to people who eat at restaurants.
Yeah.
And it was so common that people talked about it online frequently, and it was sort of became an urgent urban legend in and of itself. Do you think calling on government to fix that is a good idea?
No.
Well, never. Never.
Okay. So, and we're us. So, we have beliefs that put us in that's never a good idea.
Yeah, category. You could have said anything, and I would have said no.
I understand that. You guys are familiar with the urban legend of the McDonald's ice cream machine always being down?
Yes.
Really?
It's not a legend. That's true.
Really?
Yeah, they never have ice cream.
I haven't been to a McDonald's.
They're dirty liars.
This from Fox Business. Federal government wants McDonald's broken down ice cream machines fixed.
Or else.
Right. I mean, everything governments do has the unwritten or else at the end of it. Every law, every ordinance, whatever it is that they're trying to force you to do something, it's all got or else in parentheses.
Else.
So some Fed was like, I go to McDonald's. He goes to McDonald's every day.
Or his daughter is complaining or something.
Goes to McDonald's every day in his lunch break. And he's like, you know what? I'm sick and tired of you guys saying that the ice cream machine's always broken.
So it's one thing to have this thing, right? This, I don't want to call it urban legend, this thing where everybody is aware that the McDonald's ice cream machine
is just a thing,
most likely broken.
Yeah.
Anytime you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a whole other thing for government
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing, honestly.
To, like, involve itself in this in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, like the U.S. government.
Would it be the Federal Trade Commission? Like, what branch of government?
Well, and what's going to happen?
The executive branch is doing this.
That's a great question. And what's going to happen here is McDonald's is going to be like, okay, cool, we just don't serve ice cream anymore.
Right.
And then for the few McDonald's, because you can go to McDonald's and get an ice cream cone or a milkshake or whatever, yeah. McFlurry. You can, most, it's kind of, it's a joke, you know, and it is one of those things where you're taking a gamble, whether it's going to be working or not,
yeah.
if you ask for one, but,
yeah,
I mean, whatever, it's not really that big of a deal.
So the headline, federal government wants McDonald's broken down ice cream machines fixed. That's one thing. The sub-headline. Soft serve ice cream machine breakdowns can cost $625 per day in sales, according to the FTC and the DOJ.
So it is the FTC.
So,
Federal Trade Commission.
Yeah.
And the Department of Justice, DOJ.
Like, but this sounds like McDonald's problem. You know what I mean?
Is.
Like they're...
Yes.
Their
Spot
revenue
on, Nikki, yes.
or lack thereof has nothing to do with the federal government.
So they're losing $625 a day by the machines
like,
not working?
Also,
oh
like,
my
really
gosh.
Not that much.
$625 a day. We better get the government involved right now.
That's like less than, well, actually, no.
What, like $2 what a cone? $3 a cone?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
200 ice cream cones a day they like. Sell?
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
Yeah, I.
Well, that's an
maybe
average.
They're like adding the McFlurries to. Oh, it is says, it for like every single McDonald's in the country?
No, it doesn't say it does cost. It says it can cost.
Yeah.
Up to $625.
So they just made up a number?
Well, that sounds like the maximum amount per day that it can cost.
Yeah.
Right? So it likely costs less than that.
So
based
for
on
like.
The phrasing,
yeah.
Right?
So
wait,
so dumb.
It doesn't make sense. What is the cost? It costs. $625
like loss of revenue
to run that, or it's loss.
I think,
I think they're
of
saying
revenue.
Yeah, they're missing out in $625 up to $625 a day.
Well,
in sales
I
per
mean,
restaurant.
If you think of the sales tax collected on that, all across the country,
yeah, that's
the government
gotta be another,
would be concerned.
That's got to be another $15-$20 easily,
right? So sales tax on those ice creams is probably that's probably why they're pissed.
That's crazy. This has. Are you sure this
you're
isn't the Babylon Bee?
You're cutting into our revenue.
It
Get
says,
those machines fixed.
Like the URL says foxbusiness.com. It's got Fox Business branding. Okay. It's got the
so
usual ads.
Joke?
No, not at all.
It's not the Babylon Bee.
This is embarrassing.
For them, yeah.
Yeah, for them.
I mean,
yeah.
All right, so.
The captain continues.
Well, the captain begins, I guess, on this one, right? Because all we've done is read the headlines so far.
It's shocking.
I mean, that was enough, yeah.
The U.S. government is demanding that constantly broke down soft serve ice cream machines at McDonald's and other fast food restaurants.
Oh.
Okay. So
be more easily fixable.
So watch out, Kurger Bing.
Bourgeois King.
Yeah, bourgeois.
That's what I call it. Bougie King. do you guys remember the comedian Carrot Top?
Yeah.
Yes.
He got famous for doing like prop stuff.
Yeah.
Prop comics. He would go on stage and he would take his then long red hair and he would put like pigtails in and he'd say stuff like, you know, I like to just drive up to the Wendy's drive thru and watch him freak out. She's here. She's here.
My favorite prop one of him, he says, like, if you're ever on an airplane, we're talking about airplanes. So he goes, if you're ever on an airplane, yeah. bring along one of those oxygen masks and the guy next to you is sleeping. You go, you put the mask on your face, you go, to the guy sleeping.
Oh, man.
God, that was funny. You had to see him do it, but.
Don't do that on Air Force One.
Yeah, they'll
yeah.
they'll take you away to the Secret Service.
They'll put you in an undisclosed location.
Yeah. Without disclosing it. Wait, no, that's how it works. In a letter to the U.S. Copyright Office this week.
To the copyright.
Yeah, now like, I'm really confused.
I know.
We got the Department of Justice, the U.S. Copyright Office.
FTC.
What was, yeah, like what? That doesn't.
In a letter to the U.S. Copyright Office this week, the Federal Trade Commission and the Department of Justice Antitrust Division. Antitrust. Yeah, because you can never trust those damn ice cream machines to be working when you want an ice cream cone.
That's right. Don't trust them.
Antitrust Division called for exemptions for commercial soft serve machines from the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, a law that makes it difficult for franchise owners to do their own repairs or hire a third party repair technician.
So you have to hire a McDonald's trained
Okay, so what they're saying is that a government implementation, in this case, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, has made it so that it's difficult for franchise owners to repair or hire somebody to repair their ice cream machines.
So they're trying to reverse that and change it?
This is the Hegelian dialectic outlined for you. In this case, they're saying that something government did, in this case, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, has caused...
This problem
has caused it to be cumbersome and take a long time for these machines to be fixed because they have to, we'll get into that, but they have to use only technicians licensed by the company that makes McDonald's soft serve ice cream are allowed to do digital repairs to the machines.
It's proprietary, so it must add some type of chemical that they don't want anyone to know about.
Or it's got a piece of software that they don't want, you know, other ice cream
but that would
be
using. Something that McDonald's decided, right? What is the I don't get what the government has to do with that.
The government, so putting a copyright on something, in this case software is what I'm guessing, makes it so that other companies can't use that same exact software.
Yeah.
And it also makes it so that you cannot repair the machines yourself.
Yeah.
You have to call a technician who's certified in this particular thing, and then they jump through all the hoops to make sure that they're not violating the Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
But that's, you know, the same thing with the Teslas, right? But that's something that Tesla, as a company, decided. It's not, you know, a federal law that you can't repair your own Tesla. You just can't buy the parts, and you have to go to a special Tesla mechanic or somebody who has the software.
I think they come out with a truck, and it's just the
Well, let's see if they clarify. The joint letter to the Copyright Office said, in the agency's view, renewing and expanding repair-related exemptions would promote competition in markets for replacement parts, repair and maintenance services, as well as facilitate competition in markets for repairable products.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
When I read that, here's what I hear. I hear... government got in the way.
We screwed up.
And now we want to undo that to make it easier for you to get your frickin' ice cream.
Right. We're going to go back 20 years so you can fix your ice cream machine.
But they're saying this is that, like, it's a new discovery for them. Oh, we're going to step in here.
Congress is going to act.
We're going to act. They've been acting the whole time.
They've been acting the whole time.
They added that soft serve equipment breakdowns can lead to $625 per day of loss of sales. There are long wait lines for authorized repairs, I think, and a licensed repair technician charges over $300 per 15 minutes.
Wow.
Gosh, I wonder why that is.
Probably because he's licensed.
Got to get licensed, got to get certified, got to make sure that his training passes the Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
Health department has to get involved.
Yeah. In 2021, the FTC started looking into complaints by consumers and McDonald's franchise owners who claimed they were losing money on soft serve machines that were constantly breaking down while waiting for them to be fixed by an authorized technician.
So the FTC was getting letter upon letter upon letter from people all across the country. We can't get our soft serve ice cream?
Okay, so
I find that hard to believe.
Walk me through this. I'm in the drive-thru at the McPlace.
Yep.
And I'm trying to get my McGrub on. And I go, yeah, and I'd also like a McCone.
And they say, sorry, ice cream machine is broken.
Sorry, the ice cream machine is broken. And I go, again or still?
Yeah.
And they go, yes, sir, that's right. We're waiting on a technician to, like, okay, fine, I'll just get the rest of my order. And then sans the ice cream cone, right?
Yeah.
And so then I go and I get my lunch. Presumably I eat it either in the parking lot or I go to wherever it is. I'm going to eat the lunch. I eat the lunch. And I'm so upset by not getting my ice cream cone that I decide to pen a letter, not to McDonald's, not to
the owner,
not to the ice cream machine manufacturing company, not to the authorized licensed repair company that is supposed to be repaired. No, I pen a letter to the Federal Trade Commission.
I think
How do you make that leap?
I think more than likely it would probably be the franchise owners that would be reaching out to, you know what I mean? Because I don't think the average person that eats McDonald's,
is that what it's
no offense McDonald's people, but I don't think the average person that eats McDonald's is like even knows what the FTC is or would know how to draft an email or a letter, I think they would probably like pull a Karen and go inside and like cause a scene. Or
that's, I mean, more likely what I would do, right?
You know, and then you'd be just, on World Star Hip Hop,
you know? Yeah, exactly. Just yell at the teenage girl that works behind the counter.
Usually, what happens in my experience or in my I've witnessed other people, you become a Karen at like a fast food joint.
Yeah.
Usually, what happens, they just start throwing free food at you. They're like, sorry, here's a coupon for next time, you know? And you're like, oh, okay, cool, thanks.
Yeah. See, and, I always thought they were lying about the ice cream machine.
Oh, that they were just too lazy.
Too lazy to put the stuff in it.
Because I watched one video.
There is like supposedly a convoluted process to clean them every night.
Yeah, so I think they're just like, it's broken.
Bill didn't clean it.
I mean,
last
I've done
night.
That before when I was a server with certain things. Like if somebody asked for something really annoying, I'd be like, yeah, we don't have it right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like you're my last table and you want me to make you a whole new brew of coffee or whatever. No, it's we don't have any.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So
5 minutes, hurry up.
They call that 86th off the menu.
Yeah, 86th. No coffee for you. Right, order something less annoying.
So just to go over this, in 2021, the FTC started looking into complaints by consumers and McDonald's franchise owners who claimed they were losing money on soft serve machines that were constantly breaking down and waiting to be fixed by authorized technicians. In 2022, McDonald's was sued by an ice cream repair company.
Wow.
It should say an ice cream machine repair company.
fix the ice cream.
My ice cream.
Not enough chocolate chips in there.
It's when it falls on the ground.
Would you like me to call a glacier? An ice cream machine repair company sued McDonald's for $900 million.
Wow.
I don't know where they come up with that. Why not a billion, right?
Whoa.
We're rounding up.
Yeah, 900 million.
A billion sounded like too much, so they had to, you know, they're like, well.
Actually, 900 million sounds like it's more than a billion. It was almost like the third pounder versus the quarter pounder.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that.
900 million. Like, wow, that's a lot.
Was it,
you're like,
was it
1 billion
Burger King?
Whatever.
Or, no, it was A&W, I think.
Arby's.
Arby's. No. Arby's doesn't make burgers.
I thought
it was A&W, the restaurant.
Yeah.
Because McDonald's was selling the quarter pounder.
Yeah, so they were trying to compete.
They were like, let's sell one that's bigger. We'll sell the 1/3 pounder.
But people were so dumb and didn't know their fractions that they didn't realize that it was bigger.
Why would I want a small burger from A&W? I'd get a bigger one from McDonald's because one quarter instead of 1/3.
And it's cheaper over there, too, at McDonald's.
Everybody knows quarter pound is bigger than a third pound.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not. It's not, people. Anyway, in 2022, McDonald's was sued by an ice cream machine repair company for $900 million after the company banned franchise owners from using a product of theirs, which allows for an easy fix of soft serve machines. So again, you're absolutely spot on, both of you guys, Steve, Nikki, you're spot on about this is a McDonald's problem. This issue has been caused by government interference, government limiting what the market can do. There's already a market solution to this problem. This company that sued McDonald's for $900 million has a solution, but they were banned from using it because it allows an easy fix for the soft serve machines. The device would allow franchise owners to troubleshoot digital problems with the machine via Wi-Fi rather than waiting for an authorized fix by Taylor, the restaurant company that exclusively makes and repairs McDonald's ice cream machines.
I wonder if McDonald's corporate had a lobby to get those things. Like, we need to have these.
I believe it's just called McCorporate.
McCorporate, right. You know, if they paid their lobbyists, like, we have to make sure that the ice cream machines get in the digital copyright.
Also, I think they're called McLobbyists.
The McLobbyists. So McDonald's might have actually, you know, created their own problem.
I don't think McDonald's created this problem at all. I think the government created this problem.
But if they lobbied to say, like, we need to have our, you know, proprietary ice cream machines, I don't know. Or maybe it was Taylor.
Maybe.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it could be.
Maybe. Well, likely what happened is somebody signed an exclusivity contract.
Like,
yeah.
Taylor.
Right, yeah. Right. And then that created a whole bunch of stuff.
Right. So they probably make, Taylor probably makes the ice cream machines for all these different companies, but they're all individual. So you can't get the Bougie King to fix the McDonald's one.
McDonald's claimed this device that would, you know, make it easier to repair violated the machine's warranty and said it could cause serious human injury, according to the New York Post.
I doubt it. Also, I'm pretty sure their food causes serious human injury and nobody cares about that.
Eating the ice cream is serious injury.
Yeah.
Oh, ice cream's probably the healthiest thing on the menu. Yeah.
Can you actually call it ice cream? I don't even...
Actually,
I think it's made out of oil.
I read a study, an article that cited a study that said the most nutritious thing you can order at McDonald's is the McDouble.
The McDouble?
Yeah.
It's a double cheeseburger?
Why specifically?
Because it has the
Is it like the bread to meat ratio
it's
or something?
The meat has the most nutrition value of any of the products.
Really?
Because it's basically protein, right? So it's good protein intake. The pickles, they're not bad for you. The dehydrated onions, not bad. The ketchup's full of sugar. The mustard probably is too. I don't know if they coat the meat in that whatever that not butter
Soylent
stuff
green.
Is that they like to all these restaurants like to put on stuff.
Olean.
But yeah, basically because it was the most simple of all of their products.
Hmm.
Right. All it had was, you know, bun, meat, cheese, right? Little ketchup, mustard, a pickle, you know, that kind of a thing. So like but it was the most nutritious thing you could buy.
Which is probably still the bottom of the barrel for in terms of nutrition.
Like if you're looking to get nutrition, stop going to McDonald's.
Have you ever seen those videos where people will have a 25-year-old McDonald's hamburger?
Yeah. Right, the Happy Meal from 1990 is still
and now it's a thing where people are like, I don't believe it, and they do it themselves, and they're like, day 791 with my McDonald's cheeseburger.
Yeah, it just looks a little dried out.
Yeah, it's like a little dried out, but no mold.
Nope.
Bugs won't eat it. The dog won't eat it.
There's a comment in the bottom of this article. It says, very rarely are these machines broken. These are heavy-duty machines. The employees simply do not want to or are incapable of cleaning them properly, as it is a very tedious process to do it. The U.S. government is demanding that constantly broken-down soft-serve ice cream machines at McDonald's and other fast-food restaurants be more easily fixable. So the government can't run themselves efficiently, but now they're going to run somebody's business?
Right. $34 trillion in debt. What's my credit score?
603-283-6160. Do you think government should get out of the way of, well, everybody, but, you know, business? Give us a call. Let us know. More Free Talk Live is coming up. Stay tuned.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury. Anyone with one Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to the Dash masternodes. The masternodes vet the proposals and decide which ones move forward and are funded by that treasury. Nowadays, DAOs are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first, nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
Steve. Somebody broke him. Quick, get the federal government to fix Steve.
Only authorized service
Start
personnel.
Start penning your letters to the FTC and the DOJ.
We need some government intervention here. Has to get fixed.
Because it's a travesty. What's the phone number?
603-283-6160.
Domestic terrorist hotline.
Yes, or the feral terrorist. We're not picking
either.
And if you want to call in and opine on tonight's show, that's the number you need. 603-283-6160.
You can wreck your social credit score by calling in.
I don't have a social credit score. I have an antisocial credit score.
Oh, nice. Yeah, if you want to increase your antisocial credit score, call in.
Do you remember South Park did a bit where, like, they were making fun of Facebook? No. Mm. I'm sorry. No, they had a thing where, like, there was a family that moved into town, and they were, like, the butt face family. And their faces were just, like, plain, but, like, a crack down the middle. And that was their whole entire face. So we had a friend of ours who was good with, you know, digital imagery. And what they did is they took a photo of my band, right, and replaced all of our faces, each of them with a separate butt.
That's great.
Right? And then we put that up on our Facebook page, and we called it our butt Facebook page. And then if you
violate the terms of service?
If you friended us or whatever, you were part of our anti-social network.
nice.
Yeah. We were trendsetters, man.
Oh, yeah. You know? Good old days.
It is Free Talk Live. Did we say who we are yet in the studio? It's
Steve Classic.
Nikki.
And I am your host, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Before we go on, Free Talk Live is brought to you also by ForkFest, happening June 13th through 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. I like to call the attendees forkfesters, right? Because that's what they're doing. They're festing. Like, I turned it into, what is that, a verb? Adjective? Festing?
Yeah. It can be a verb.
Yeah.
But it should be, instead of dot party, it should be dot partay.
Partay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
That's a little too fancy.
Yeah, I don't think the average person would figure that out. Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's a party, man. Yeah. You know, if you want to chill and relax with some people and see some unique things put on, come to ForkFest. And if you want to experience the largest gathering of liberty-minded people that I'm aware of, then you can stick around for the fest after that, known as the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It is Free Talk Live, and we do take calls here, so let's go to one right now. This is Jerome, I believe, calling from South Carolina?
Yes.
You're on the air.
South of North Carolina, probably.
but you're originally an East Carolina guy, right? You were born in there?
No.
West Carolina?
I was born in Charleston.
Oh, okay.
Hey, look. Don't be a wise guy. You know I'm from Charleston. You try to get me. Are you directionally challenged or something? Hey, you from West Carolina? You from North Carolina? You're just trying to be a Weisenheimer Northerner. That's all you're trying to be.
But there's a West Virginia, but there's no East Virginia.
Right. There's no North Virginia either.
Right.
Blue Ridge Mountains, California River.
Yeah.
We got Jerome singing now.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Did you?
Yeah, I used to be stationed in Colorado. Every time I hear John Denver, I always remember he had that country road, take me home.
The Rocky Mountain way too high because he crashed into it?
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, too low. Now, let's be nice now.
I am nice.
That wasn't nice what you said about John Denver.
I just said that the mountain was too high because he crashed into it.
Hey, I remember... Hey, how he died it was an awful ending to his life, you know. Mm. He wasn't a bad guy. Hey, by the way, I need a therapy session. How much are you going to charge me?
$7,000 per minute.
Oh, yeah, right.
One McDonald's ice cream. If you can find...
Put it on my debit.
Are you willing to...
Put it on my debit card.
Are you willing to receive therapy from somebody unlicensed and uninsured?
Hey, do I get a massage with it? Because therapy could be any type of therapy you want. This is like mental therapy, though.
Well, so we all know that...
It kind of bothered me.
We all know that the word therapist, if you divide it into its roots, becomes the rapist.
Well, we don't go that. We don't do that. No, okay. That's uncool, man.
All right.
No.
I mean, if you need therapy, like, quite honestly, like, if you really need therapy, go seek professional help. If you consider, you know, spouting off on nationally syndicated talk radio, well, then we'll be your therapy for you, Jerome.
Yeah, because I need a session today, because the stuff I heard today, man, I think I need to talk to somebody.
Well, I mean, you could start here and just see how it goes, and then if you think that you have to take it to another level, then you'd see a professional.
Yeah. Hello, Nikki. Anyway.
Hello.
Was she not talking to me today?
All you
I'm
said
here.
Was
I'm
hello.
Listening. Yeah.
No,
I'd love to know what you wanna what the therapy session is about. I've
been
waiting.
Trump said that if he doesn't win, there's going to be a bloodbath. And I'm wondering, he was in Ohio yesterday, and I'm wondering, who does he think he is? If he doesn't win, there's going to be a bloodbath. Who does he think he is?
Jerome, have you watched the entire clip of what he said?
I don't care about the entire clip.
Oh,
I care about
context.
What he said.
Okay, well then it's out of context and it doesn't make sense to you because you haven't seen the entire thing.
Oh, so you're buying the excuse that his handler said, well, he meant for the auto industry. I ain't buying that.
All right. Well, if you saw the entire clip, he's talking about China moving automobile factories into Mexico into the United States.
Right.
So the industry, it's going to be, he calls it a bloodbath. It's the same thing like NAFTA when Perot said it's a giant sucking sound. Absolutely true.
I mean, I was in a heavy metal band and like
January 6th.
Hang on, Drew. I was in a heavy metal band and like we had songs with way worse title names than like, you know, Bloodbath. I remember there was a band that I enjoyed. They were called Tasty Gore, and they had a song called Two Nuns in a Chainsaw Fight.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes.
That's black and white red all over.
It is. Right? Now, talk about a bloodbath.
Yeah, don't get me started on Cannibal Corpse. Yeah. Jeez. I mean.
Oh, my God. I don't listen to stuff like that.
So the fact that you, Jerome, are getting, that you need therapy as a result of hearing the former president and potentially next president say the word bloodbath is indicative of somebody who really does need therapy.
Yeah, I think you might have Trump derangement syndrome. I think I'm going to have to diagnose you with that.
No, he's got derangement syndrome. He's the deranged one.
I'll agree with that.
Yeah, all right, we're all in agreement.
Either of those senile old bastards are deranged, both of them, Biden and Trump both, and it is a further commentary on the general public and their derangement that those are the two candidates that you all are going to have to choose from if you decide to vote.
All y'all.
Hey, look. Bloodbath. Look.
I'm looking.
He gets away with the same stuff. Do you remember January 6th? Oh, it was way.
How could I forget?
It was bad, but when they showed up close, it was way worse.
Did you see that 5 foot tall woman who was killed by a cop? That was kind of crazy.
On January 6th?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That was kind of crazy. An unarmed woman who was just shot in the neck.
That's awful.
By a police officer, yeah.
And Pence saying he can't endorse him. Why can't you endorse him, Mike Pence? He was you were on the same ticket with him. Why can't he endorse him now?
Yeah, that's actually a good, good question.
I have no idea. Tell
I
us.
Don't know. I think the whole
because
Trump
January
thing is dumb.
6th, when people were saying, let's hang Mike Pence.
Yeah.
That's his own party.
I mean, if you want my non-professional and unlicensed advice, man, smoke some weed or something.
Like,
stop watching TV.
Okay. Yeah, turn off CNN and Fox News. Stop watching that crap altogether.
That's pretty
just
solid
don't
advice.
Watch the news for like a month and watch your blood pressure regain its normal stance.
Right.
No, I only watch CNN because I love CNN. I'm in love with CNN now. I can't stand Fox.
Can tell.
I tried watching it today and I had to change the channel. I said I can't take that. That puke stuff there.
All right, now just try turning off CNN for a month.
No,
turn
for
it
Lent.
All
give
off.
It up for Lent.
Turn it all off for a month and see what happens.
Never. I got a new streaming service.
He's so addicted to CNN, he will never turn
CNN
it off.
Was on today, and I was in heaven. I'm in heaven.
Do you have CNN on like 24/7? Like, do you fall asleep with the TV on and CNN's on in the background?
No, not 24/7. I gotta make sure my utilities bill doesn't go too high. So I watched it today. Yeah, Alex Witt. Wow. Oh, I love her. Oh, they were good today. That was
I don't
good.
Know who that is?
Yeah.
And Dana Bash. Oh yeah, hubba hubba. I was loving that today.
We have no idea who
we'll
you're
take
talking
your word
about.
For it.
Up a new one.
Yeah.
Huh?
We have no idea who you're talking about, and hopefully more people will follow our lead instead of yours.
CNN.
The criminal news network?
Yeah. Didn't CNN just leave their headquarters in Atlanta? They couldn't even stay in their own building because there's so much crime in Atlanta. I think they just left.
Oh. Yeah. Come on now. You sound like a Republican.
No. Hey, how is that being a Republican? There's so much crime that they had to leave the building.
How does that make him sound CNN like a did Republican? That.
Was there any crime when Trump was in office?
Oh, I'm sure there was.
There was a bunch of crime when Trump was in office. Trump committed many crimes. So does Biden. You know the biggest crime both of these bastards committed? Dropping bombs on innocent people, which they're still doing, by the way. And every president that has been a president since I've been alive. Dropping bombs on innocent people. Stop that.
Hey, how many bombs has Putin dropped on the country?
Probably a billion.
Huh?
Yeah, this is what statists do. And if you've been listening to this show for any period of time, Jerome, you already know that we are against statism. We are against these bastards in power who have these seats called presidents or monarchs or kings or whatever the hell they want to be called. We're against all of it because people can figure out a way to get along without the use of force. And all statism is institutionalized coercion. That's all it is.
May I ask you a question, please?
Sure, go ahead.
How'd you like those free and fair elections in Russia the last couple of days, huh?
I didn't because I don't believe that elections are a way for people to organize themselves to get things done. If elections made a difference, they'd be illegal, bro.
I guess we already know who won over there, huh?
I don't care.
Wink, wink.
I don't care.
I know you don't. I know you don't.
Anything else from the CNN headlines? Anything else from the CNN headlines that we should know?
I'm in love with Alex Witt because she was on fire. Right, she was on fire.
He's getting redundant. Now, Jerome, this ends your, what do we call it, your therapy session for the day.
No charge.
I'm sure we will speak to you another time. We do hope you feel better.
I feel better now, though.
expect the bill in the mail. Thanks.
I hope he recovers.
Oh boy, let's go to another caller. I believe this is Tim in Florida. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live.
So what I remember is a 29-cent cheeseburger.
Oh, yeah.
No, I got it backwards. It's a 29-cent hamburger on Monday and a 49-cent cheeseburger on Wednesday. And those burgers, I did work at McDonald's for a very brief period of time. They are one-tenth of a pound before they are cooked.
Wow.
In the frozen form.
Wow.
And that was a pretty good deal. And then the McDouble replaced, it didn't replace because you can still buy a double cheeseburger, but originally there was no McDouble. The double cheeseburger had two of the one-tenth pound patties, it still does, and two slices of cheese. The McDouble is the same thing.
But one slice of cheese.
Right. Yeah. You got it,
Captain. Yep. Yeah, what about the ice cream machine, though? Did it break down when you were there all the time?
No, so I worked at the McDonald's in Thayer, Missouri, which is pretty close to the border of Arkansas. I was taking a break from my computer career.
Yep.
And anyway, because there was no work like that up there, so, you know, you took what you could get. But, man, are you still there?
Yeah.
You know what happened? I renamed my Alexa computer so I could sound like a Captain Picard. and so I said computer, and it started trying to talk back to me.
Computer.
That was one of the creation of the McDouble was the earliest example I can think of shrinkflation, where they basically took something away and they charged the same price.
Ah.
And the first time I noticed it was when I tried to order a double cheeseburger. I'm like, what the hell? Supposed to be a dollar, and they're like, no, the McDouble's a dollar.
Yeah, have you seen the I saw this recently somewhere on the social media or online somewhere, and it's a photo of like the McDonald's burgers in their advertisements and then a photo of the actual burger that you get when you order it from the drive-thru.
Yeah. Catfish.
No, I didn't see that, but we used to have our rush hour was whenever the football team from the local high school got out.
Oh,
and we'd be flipping burgers. You know how it goes. It's just on the flat grill.
Yeah.
Slight change of subject.
Okay.
cheetah piss. I heard, I was catching up on my Free Talk Live, and you had a caller calling about cheetah piss being sold at some smoke
shop. You mean
shop.
Cheetah pee. Let's call it
cheetah pee. Well, I don't think that's necessarily
urine.
Because he referred to it as a quarter of an ounce or as an ounce for, you know, on sale. And maybe he was talking about that. However, there is a strain called cheetah piss now.
Are you talking about marijuana? You're talking about marijuana. Okay.
Oh.
Let's stop saying that word though, because we're on the radio, bro.
Oh, is that?
There's only certain contexts we can use that word, and I'm not sure if that's one of them or not. So,
okay, fair enough. But yeah, it is a strain. It is a strain.
And is it any good? That's what I'm
quite. I've never tried it. Okay. Now, I was about to say doing something off a boat, but you said not to say it.
Yes.
When I was in middle school, we went on a class field trip in eighth grade, and it was a snorkeling trip in the Keys of Florida, Key Largo, whatever. Mm-hmm. I got to touch the underwater statue of Christ who had fire coral under his armpits. And then we were actually the last class that went on that field trip because they ended up stealing a fifth of, I don't know what it was, vodka or something. I didn't drink it. And the other two kids that got the top three scores on the math quiz, they didn't drink it. Nobody offered it to us. So I don't know what we would have done.
But
one kid got alcohol poisoning, and so we ruined it for everybody. But
oh, I see. So a bunch of y'all, there was some alcohol involved, and you all went to go see this thing, and some people got in trouble for it, and then that was the last time folks were allowed to go see this thing?
Yeah, but it was a snorkeling trip. So coming back from one of our snorkeling trips, it might have been coming back from touching the underwater statue of Christ. I had to do the number one story, something bad, and I was too embarrassed to tell the boat driver, because basically I had there were like 10 to 20 of my classmates on the boat with me. And I was embarrassed as hell. You know, I could have gone off the back of the boat.
Right.
But instead of, you know, just doing what I had to do and communicating, I'm just, you know, it's a nice, nice windy day, perfect day, Florida, probably 85 degree weather in the middle of the ocean. And I was like third trombone, and the first trombone, blonde chick, she was staring back at me, and she was just smiling. She was just happy in the weather. It wasn't because she was staring at me, trust me, but she was just looking right at me, eye to eye, into my soul. And right then,
you did the
and
thing.
You know what? We had all been in the ocean, so I don't think anybody really noticed. So that was kind of cool.
Well, now they know. You just outed yourself.
And now you know the rest of the story.
We're taking you out on top, Tim. Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you listening. That is the story of Tim.
Wow.
And I don't know, some
another therapy session.
Something about touching the underwater statue of Christ and turning his. I don't know. What was it?
His dry shorts wet?
Were they like a
swim trunks
a school band or something? There was a trombone involved and a different player
and some vodka.
Turned their water into vodka somehow. Right.
Like a holy experience, really.
Holy indeed.
And no one will ever do it again.
Because of that trip. And that's how space travel is possible today.
Wow.
603-283-6160 if you'd like to
see
call.
If you can top those guys.
Are you in need of therapy?
Yeah, call the therapy line.
Yeah, call somebody else. If you want to be on
free
national
talk,
radio.
Free talk,
somebody else.
Free talk therapy.
If you want to be on nationally syndicated talk radio, call us. That's really
No one else is listening. It's just us. Just the three of us here.
We're just
this is a
talking.
Safe space.
Yeah, it's a safe space. You can talk about anything you want. Just don't swear.
We're just talking. All right. Well, we have more in store. I am a fan of self-checkout.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan. Big fan.
I did today at the home labyrinth.
Why?
I did use the little
in
the cart.
Like
it was good.
You might not be as big a fan of the self-checkout. Why?
Because it's something is always screwed up, especially if you're buying produce. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the number of this thing? This thing doesn't have a sticker on it. You got to press the help thing. He's helping, you know, the clerk is helping someone else who has the same problem. And you're just, it seems like you're there a long time. Whereas if you've got, if I go to a grocery store and usually like Aldi only has one person, you have to, you know, throw everything in your own cart. But Market Basket, there's a kid who's throwing them in the bags.
Yep.
And you're out of there in no time.
Yeah.
You know?
I will say it depends on what I'm getting. Yes. If I'm, well, Market Basket doesn't offer, and that's a local grocery store. It's kind of a, you know, New England thing. So other listeners might not be familiar.
Right.
It's a grocery store. But a place like Market Basket, where I might be getting more exotic things, that is a place where I'd go through the line. They don't have self checkout anyways. But Aldi, I feel like normally they have the.
Aldi, the checker is fast, though. They're just like, beep, beep,
yeah. I kind of don't like that, though. I feel like they're a little too aggressive.
Ooh.
When I go to the...
overcharging you? Like, did that go through twice?
Not even just that. They're just... I feel like they're really... I don't know what, like, the company threatens them with to make the, like, really whip them into shape, but
right.
Every single Aldi cashier is... And if you... Because sometimes, you know, I'm taking my time. I'm living my life. You know, I'm enjoying myself. And if you're not ready, when they're ready, they're like looking at you, and I'm like, I'm sorry.
They're going back. They're stocking shelves, and they come back for you because they're multitasking.
Yeah, they're like sweeping. I'm like, oh my gosh.
I'm trying to get my wallet out.
Like, what do you make $100 an hour? Cashier job?
I don't know, but
yeah. So sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. The self checkouts.
So I'm a fan of them because A, I'm a better bagger than most grocery store baggers. I'm not that picky about like how much, but like, man, you ever see your eggs go in like the bottom of a bag and a bunch of like heavy stuff put on top of it?
You're like, come on, rookie mistake.
Yeah. You know? Also, I'm not always feeling very people-y.
Yeah.
Right? I don't really want to like deal with people, talk to people. It's bad enough that these machines sort of yell at you. You ever been to the Home Depot self checkout aisle?
I was there today with the little scanner. It's
would you like a receipt? Like the machine's yelling at you, and every time it does that, I'm like, stop yelling at me, right? Yeah. And then the clerk comes over, like, is everything okay? I'm like, the machine's yelling at me.
But there's
turn the volume
like, lower
down,
your voice. You know?
But there's so many different components. There's the screen made by one company. This is the FTC should get involved with this. The screen is the Home Depot screen.
Shouldn't.
Then the Vodafone. Card swiper thing is another thing. Then the scanner is another thing. And another company, it's crazy.
We'll find out why I brought up the self-checkout line coming up here on Free Talk Live. What if you needed to pay a subscription fee to self-checkout? Stay tuned. We've got that plus more, plus your calls. Hour number three of Free Talk Live is still to come. That rotation is random.
Is it?
Yeah.
The music? The fade?
Yeah. The bumper
music?
Yeah. In and out. Yeah. They're
except
randomized.
The top of the hour. The top of the hour one's always the same.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. 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 But they change from time to time.
Hmm.
Yeah. There's
That's like really mind blowing to me.
There's
right
a whole
now.
Bunch
you think
of
I
stuff.
Would have realized this
right.
after doing the show 2 days a week for.
Hey,
meow, a long time.
Hey, man. Like,
meow, meow, meow.
The only thing that's important.
Yeah, that's the one. Meow, 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 meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow.
Nikki, if you had to take a South Park lesson away from today's show, what do you think it is? Is it?
Oh gosh,
is it that
I don't
you
know.
didn't realize that the bumper music might be random from time to time, or that you should be on time for the show?
Oh, I don't know. That's a tough one.
Do, 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 do. Would you like to phone a friend?
50-50.
I think personally, I think I would like to be on time. That's a commitment.
That's a broadcast standard. I'm working you have on. To be on time.
What do our judges say, Steve?
I would say being on time is important. Yeah.
Our judges say that's the right answer.
Yeah. Cool.
Tell her what she's won, Bob.
Rice-a-roni, the San Francisco treat. But you don't want to go to San Francisco.
That's certainly not a treat.
Or Philadelphia.
603-283-6160 is the number. We have callers on hold. We'll get to those momentarily. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Steve Classic.
And Nikki.
Before we go forth or on or continue.
Forward.
Before we proceed, I want to say thank you to Clamoring. Clamoring is a silver level amplifier. What does it mean to be a silver level amplifier? Well, you can go over to amps.freetalklive.com and find out all about the AMPS program. It's basically where folks will send in some amount of money. In this case, as a silver level amplifier, Clamoring sends us $5 per month. What does that $5 go to? Does it go to Nikki's, you know...
Being on time? Or new alarm clock?
Yeah. I was going to say something about baby clothes, but no, sure, yeah, whatever. Does it go to Steve Classic's solar panel farm? Does it go to the captain's beer fund?
No.
It doesn't go to any of those places. What it does is it goes to getting this radio program onto more radio stations. We're currently on somewhere near 180 or 200 stations. We could be on more. We could be on 250, 300, 350 stations. Not out of the question. It's all up to you. So if you enjoy the show, you enjoy the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, the topics, the perspective that we bring of freedom, peace, and prosperity, please consider becoming an amplifier over amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, Clamoring, for your contribution. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to your calls and thoughts. We've got David Ridley of the Ridley Report with us. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, guys. Before I start with my planned topic, I did want to issue an apology to Rich Paul. I called him a name the last time I called in. I called him a chihuahua.
What did you mean to call him?
Well, I kind of meant to say chihuahua.
Okay.
But I probably shouldn't have. That's a term I use for people who spew a lot of yipping and yapping about how they think it's so important to hurt government people physically. And he was kind of doing that, so I kind of called him a name.
Was it Rich Paul or was it Richie Rich?
No, Rich Paul.
Okay, all right, just checking.
I have a policy of not calling people a name, even if I profoundly disagree with them. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah, yep. I respect that.
Yeah, that's awesome of you, manly of you, big of you, whatever you want to say, and we will vicariously accept on Rich Paul's behalf.
Yes, I have posted this. I've sent him an email and posted this on Shire forums, and
nice.
I'll either be forgiven or not forgiven.
That's cool. I'm sure I don't want to speak on his behalf, but it doesn't seem like he'd, you know, hold a grudge on that one.
All right, so what is your planned topic for this evening?
Yeah, so what does the term SEZ mean to you guys?
SEZ, Special Economic Zone, I believe.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Ding, 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 ding. Wow. So,
do I win Rice-a-roni too?
Sure.
Okay.
Special Economic, of course, they're a favorite topic of your co-host, Mark Edge.
Yes.
And Mark has convinced me that these are something that does kind of work somewhere, sometimes. Kind of like the Free State Project does, but in a different way. So I think they're great, but to me, the main problem with them when I look at them is like, well, that's not in New Hampshire. So I can't take all this stuff we've got going here and apply it to that. I have to start over if I go to a place like that. So, an NH exit activist has come up with a suggested solution to that problem. His name's Tony Olson, and he has written an article over on the Shire forums, I think he's in the process of submitting it to some other places, but he is suggesting starting a special economic zone somewhere inside New Hampshire.
That'd be great.
Well, could we make all of New Hampshire a special economic zone?
Right.
Does it have to be one little space?
Well, so there are a bunch of hoops you have to jump through with the existing government in order to get granted a special economic zone. And so it's just less expensive to start small.
Okay. All right. I'll buy that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So there's been some objections to this that, well, the state would just shoot it down or the federal government would shoot it down, you know, legally or whatever. But the thing is that failure is not always failure. Just the fact that you try something actually pushes it quite a bit further along than it would have gotten if you hadn't tried it. Even if it gets shot down, well, at least you got this far or that far, right? Or at least you proved that they're not letting you do it, right? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as a person with some entrepreneurial spirit, that particular message resonates with me highly. I'm sure there's other entrepreneurs out here who are like, yeah, dude, you know how many times I had to fail before I got my first business to succeed?
Yep.
Right, that kind of thing. Also, too, as a musician, right, I have never been in the black as a musician. I've put way more money into making music and trying and, like, putting it out there than I have received back in either spins or sales or T-shirts or any of that kind of stuff. So, yes, absolutely, that resonates with me 100%.
So Tony's suggestion in the article is to set up to designate a 6-square-mile uninhabited area somewhere and just like let people go there. And his suggestion is to use it to help solve the homeless problem. Let homeless people go there. I don't know if that would be the best combination because usually I think these things are done, you know, in other countries like the one in Honduras, the special economic zone. I think it's a lot of expats and locals, but it's not. They're not trying to attract homeless folks, right?
Right.
this is different, and it would be much more of a challenge. But on the other hand, we have a lot less to lose, you know. But those homeless folks have a lot less to lose. So, you know, at least this is an idea. It's nice to see someone push this. That's not me, right? Like, it's something I can get behind, and I don't have to start the idea. And I think everybody else who looks at this is probably going to feel the same way. Oh yeah, it's not something I'd want to start, but it's great that he has started it.
Well, and also you have somebody that you can kind of, you know, lean on from time to time, you know, send an email or a text or whatever, Mark Edge I'm speaking of, who has, done more research on this than, well, I have, right? And, he's part of trying to build something like that outside of the U.S. It'd be interesting to get his perspective, and maybe I'll ask him the next time he's on with us.
Is that the private cities or what's it called?
Yeah, it's the Special Economic Zone.
No, but it's called something cities.
Free private cities.
Free private cities, right.
Right, that's the project he's involved
with. Right.
It's free private cities. He's involved with a couple different projects, so mm-hmm. I might be mixing two projects together here. Yeah. But he certainly has schooled me on special economic zones previously, just, you know, me talking to him in person and whatnot. So, Ridley?
All right, well, you can read the article at forum.shiresociety.com.
Awesome. Anything else you want to say?
That is all.
I would say that.
Thanks for the call, man.
I would say that if you're running for office, contact Dave Ridley and he will wear your political sign and pick up garbage off the side of the road. That's what he did with Russell.
Now, cool. Now, that's a service.
Yeah.
Right? You know?
Yeah.
Voluntary?
Yep.
Right?
Who will pave the roads? Who will pick up the litter?
Well, we know Domino's will pave the roads, so like they've already proven that by filling in potholes and crap, right?
If they want to deliver pizzas, they're going to fix the roads.
Yeah, they were like, oh, yeah, we're sick of our delivery drivers getting flat tires on the side of the road.
Like taxi drivers, limousines, shuttle services, trucking companies, right?
UPS,
buses, right? Anybody who needs to deliver anything, like the cost of the roads, not only would go down, like overall, like per person, right? If government got out of the way.
Right. If Amazon started a construction company that fixed roads.
Oh my gosh.
God, they would be, overnight.
Yeah.
You'd have it fixed overnight.
Yeah.
Privatize the DOT.
I can't wait for government to go away. because it brings the cost of everything down. Like what you pay in taxes to supposedly maintain the roads, which by the way have been ignored. Any big city and a whole bunch of small ones, their bridges and your infrastructure have been ignored because
scary,
there's,
right?
Yeah, there's no incentive for these politicians to put more money into maintenance of these things.
West Street and Keene, I don't even drive on that anymore.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. So the thing is, so now you get your car all screwed up. It won't pass inspection. Now you got to pay more money.
Yeah.
I had this idea of, if I got pulled over for not having my car inspected or whatever.
Yeah.
Of creating like a document of the roads failing my inspection.
Oh,
and
yeah.
To present that to the police officer and
a counter proposal.
Yeah. It's like,
in a way.
So I can't inspect my car Because in order for me to inspect, get my car inspected and to pay the $30, $50, whatever it costs, you guys will actually, so I'm sorry, but you need to pass inspection first before I will inspect my car.
All that,
I don't
rust,
think,
all that rust comes from the salt you're putting on the roads.
So I don't think it would go over well, but I think actually most cops would probably get a kick out of that.
It'd be a great
too,
viral video.
Yeah, it'd be funny. It'd be a funny thing to do. So, but now, you know, I'm doing the whole Montana thing, so that's cooler. Get harassed by the police less, so that's always cool.
Yeah, that's a bonus.
Yeah.
Speaking of vehicles, there's a somebody who calls us from time to time.
Oh, I need one.
Who enjoys talking about roads. It's Sarah in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live.
Sarah? Oh, yeah, the roads. But today I want to bring up something else is that...
Okay.
You know, like Raymond is kind of almost deaf, but he has real hard hearing problems. So
I'm sorry, who?
Who?
The person I live with, Raymond.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Didn't hear you.
Yeah. So, but people that have hard of hearing, don't they talk kind of loud? They
sometimes, yeah.
Loud. Yeah, and they also, they talk loud and they talk monotone, so they'll sound something like this. Hello, thank you for calling. How can I help you today?
Like they're shouting.
Yeah, generally speaking.
Yeah, I don't know, because I guess they can't hear themselves, but the problem that we have was that we called to make a business card, and obviously the operator had one of those headsets that has the headphones right up against their ears, and then they have the mouthpiece. So then what happens that he was talking pretty loud like he normally does. So I guess they can't hear themselves. They just think that other people can't hear them. So they talk loud. So then it was blasting into their eardrum. So what is it? They have the one volume. Once they lower the volume for them, it also lowers our volume. So we can't hear them and they can't hear us. I mean, it's just one setting. So my complaint is they need to have a voice setting where they could lower our volume on their part and they could increase our volume if we needed to. It's just that our telephone system... But if they decide to lower their volume, we can't hear them either.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you, but I don't know what we can do to help you.
I would call the FTC.
The DOJ.
Or the DOJ. Copyright Office.
So this technology exists, Sarah, and I can't explain why you are having this specific problem, because you're talking to me right now, and I have raised and lowered my volume in my headset repeatedly since you've called. And it doesn't seem to have affected you at all. So, so like the technology exists. I can't explain what happened to you with this particular call. I don't know what happened and why their changing of volume would also reduce yours. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I didn't have this ancient, old style headphones, because the more I talked to them, they were getting fainter and fainter and fainter. And then she was telling me that she was like, her volume, because we were talking too loud, it was blowing out her eardrum.
Were you calling into like a call center, like where there's a bunch of these people doing their job?
I think I was trying to order. They have the this center. I could order. You know, our network marketing. They have their business card and the. And I also found out that I could get postcards, and they even have checks, stamps, return address, like a stamp. So you could,
all right, so when you made this call, you were talking to a representative, right? Like you called into a place, a toll-free number or something like that. Now, I know from having worked in call centers that sometimes they will have a supervisor or a quality person listen into the call in order to, like, grade the person on how well they did or coach them. Here's what you did right. Here's what you did
training
wrong.
Training
like that. Training purposes, right? Sometimes that can create weird audio for people when the person, you know, pipes in to listen to. You can't hear them speak, but, like, that's the only thing that I can think of that might create the scenario you've described.
Yeah, so someone was eavesdropping on your call from the company.
Right.
Yeah, that's a real possibility, because you're telling me that they already have a technology that you were lowering and increasing my volume to for your listening hearings, and then my excuse me, my volume was consistent, and I just thought that it sounds about right with all of our technological advances. Mm-hmm. It sounds about right because I learned that like the you know, they'll keep track of we have that new free bus service. They'll keep track of all of your phone numbers that you call from and you do the app from. They know who you are before they pick you up.
If you have the app on your phone, that app is picking up all of the data on your phone. That is true.
And then that guy told me creepy. That they even keep track of the track phones. That's a murder device. People, they found that before they, right before they murder somebody or they commit a big crime.
Not every time, but
I've never heard of anybody being murdered by track phone.
No, I'm talking about that's an accessory. They would buy a throwaway phone, hoping that they're not going to be tracked.
Or a burner phone.
Yeah, the burner phone.
Yeah,
right.
drug dealers will do that too. Yeah.
Well, that's been going
or just on people forever. Looking for a phone. They need a cheap phone, random phone, whatever.
Yeah. You move to a new city. You don't have service yet. You ain't got a local number. You buy a burner phone.
Yeah.
Gets you by.
But now that they could track it. So if you're going to be a criminal and they even use that track phone to call out a bus for free middle of the night and just rob a bus driver or something, they know who you are. They'll keep track of you, you know what I mean, with a free bus service.
We've done so many stories here on Free Talk Live about how government agencies, police, federal, et cetera, track everything you do on your cell phone. So I'm not surprised, really, Sarah.
So then, you know, the dope dealers, I think we had a dope dealer friend. They use like 12 different phone numbers. But they're not being slick like they think they are. They're not being tracked, but they can track them if they cause enough problems. If they, you know, if their bunch, you know, like stole something or they shot up a house, they can't track those 12 phone numbers.
These are friends of yours, Sarah? What kind of friends do you have?
Well, I we're thinking why they're not my friends, but they're a friend of a Raymond's friends, you know? All and then we're like, how come they call from 13 different phone numbers? And I'm thinking, well, I think they're kind of doing the side business or like something seedy where they don't want a one trackable phone, but they're being tracked too. Like they're not above any over and beyond being tracked. If they want to be tracked.
Breaking Bad set in New Mexico.
Yeah, I think so.
I think Sarah is joining. I think Sarah might be
Heisenberg.
On the verge of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Breaking Bad, huh?
Yeah. Hey, Sarah, thanks for the call. We appreciate you.
Tonight, there's been a lot of calls where it's like, why are you calling?
Or like in the middle of the call, you're like, wait, what are you talking about? Right, now?
You swerved into something we are just not paying attention to.
Whiplash segue.
You know what? She was talking about people who talk loud.
Yes, I do know what she was talking about.
If you're in a foreign country and you're asking for directions, you talk loud. Louder. Hey, how do I get to
when you tell somebody that, hey, here's my blind friend, and they go, hey, how are you? They start yelling at your blind friend.
Like, people will do that. If somebody has an accent, they'll do that also. They'll raise their voice a little bit, and it's like this is their second language. They're not hard of hearing. They just
speak slower, not louder.
Yeah.
It's not going to help.
Enunciate more or something.
Yeah, people are weird.
Or it's the same thing
I'm not normal, so I know people are weird because I'm one of them.
Another example of that is when there's low visibility, or maybe you're trying to focus while you're driving, you're backing up or something, and you're like, I got to turn the
radio down.
Turn the radio down so I can see better.
As soon as you get off the exit, like, I got to turn the radio down. I'm off the exit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I used to pull this maneuver in rush hour traffic. I was commuting with one of my many friends named Chris. I was commuting to work. We worked at the same place, and he was on the way, you know, so I'd come pick him up. We'd get in the carpool lane there in the Seattle area. And then in order to get out of the carpool lane and onto the exit, there was always a line backed up for, I don't know, a mile or so. Really? And so you would, if if you're running low on time, which we always were, mm-hmm. I would pull this maneuver called the barge maneuver, right? And that's where you get up to right where the lane, you know, sort of splits into the off ramp. There's cars way behind you who are in line long before you were, but you just get right up there and sort of force your way in with your signal on. You start waving at people or whatever.
Give them a thank you.
I call it the barge maneuver. I don't remember what my point was.
I used to hate those people, but now I'm that guy who does that.
About?
The barge maneuver.
Yeah, but before, why did Seattle, I
start? Paying attention, raising your voice.
Oh,
volume.
I had to turn down the Slayer. Like, I'm listening to Slayer in my car as the morning commute, because Slayer really wake you up if you if you need to be woken up, you know, in a hurry. You're late for work or whatever, right? You're drinking your coffee as you're driving around. Like, I knew I was getting old when I tried this barge maneuver, and I had to turn down the Slayer. And my friend Chris even looked over at me. He's like, "What the hell is wrong with you?
You're turning that down.
Who are you, and what have you done with my friend?" The barge maneuver. Yeah. Things you learn in the big city, how to drive. Coming up, we still need to talk about why I mentioned the self-checkout lane and why I'm a fan of it. We've got a bit more to talk about there. We got other stuff in store for you as well. We'll see how things go as the night progresses. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is coming up. Free Talk Live.
Hey, they played our request.
We're a live call-in radio. I can't do that for like a long period of time. It's tough to do. It's tough to do.
One man.
There's a. I just sounded like an old Dr. Demento song called "What Do You Do with Your Dead Friend Chester?"
Jeez.
And the
sounds demented.
The chorus of it is you can hang his picture on the wall, lie his carcass in the hall, and that's about as much as you can do. And I'm like,
inspiring.
That's an accurate lyric, really. Mm-hmm.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Anyway, it's Free Talk Live. We're a live radio call-in program where you can call in, talk about whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Steve Classic.
And Nikki.
All right, so two segments ago, I mentioned that I was a fan of the self-checkout. I have a variety of reasons for this. Sometimes I don't feel like dealing with people. Sometimes I find that the cashiers are, I don't know how to say this, but like not as quick as like I like them to be, or as other cashiers are. Like sometimes you see an experienced cashier and they're just on it. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, wait, hang on. Okay, here you go. Right. They're on it. Right.
There is a little bit of an art to it, you know, and then if they go too quick and they're a little too smashy, because sometimes they'll just whip your groceries into the cart. It's like, hey, settle down.
Yeah. But like, I'm a far superior bagger. I'm quicker at getting my stuff on the scanner, off the scanner, even if it's something like Steve described where it's like, oh, I got to look it up. Oh, I didn't look at the number for like the little stickers gone off my avocado.
Right.
I got to put it on the thing. I got to look up the thing by alphabet. Like, you got to know how to spell avocado.
Yeah, that's the tough part.
That's a tough one.
Angie always loves that because she buys organic bananas. Like, please place your organic bananas.
It's got to.
Wow. Please place your organic bananas. The robot voice. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I love it.
So this from News Channel 7, WJHG.
News 7.
Panama City Beach, Florida, of all places. Walmart and Target may be testing limits on self-checkouts.
Wait. They may be testing? They already are testing.
Well,
what is
the article says they may be. Why would you limit self-checkout? What does it mean to limit self-checkout? These are good questions.
Own nothing and you'll be happy.
There may soon be limits on who can use self-checkouts.
Oh, discrimination.
At stores like Walmart and Target. That's French for Target.
Okay.
Some shoppers have reported that some self-checkout lines have been closed off at Walmart, according to Today. This is the second time this week that I've gone to Walmart, and this is a different Walmart, and it's been right about this time, and all their self-checkouts are closed, and they've started to open up the regular lines again, one person said in a TikTok video. According to a Reddit post, at least one Walmart had a sign blocking self-checkout lanes saying, "Attention, this self-checkout is for Spark shoppers and Walmart Scan and Go only." I don't know what either of these things are, but
yeah, I'm confused.
Walmart Scan and Go is only available for Walmart Plus members, which is a paid subscription.
Yeah. Listen, premium. I don't have any qualms with this. No, I don't mind if they want to charge a premium for the self-checkout privileges.
Is that like the fast lane? You know, you pay
so
a toll?
So it could be. Yeah, it could like be. Or like how TSA has like the TSA check.
Pre-check?
Or, yeah, the pre-check-in. I mean, if that's what they want to do.
The TSA is not a market entity. Walmart
no, so we can't really compare,
is.
But that's right. Like the first thing that my mind comes to. If the TSA can do it, Walmart can do it.
No. I'm not going to pay more to self-checkout. I'm sorry. I'm already saving them money by them having to staff.
It should be cheaper.
It should be less expensive. Right,
also, I want to say that I heard that some of these companies, there's a lot of theft. And they are losing a lot of money, more so than they would paying the cashier's wage.
That's up to their loss prevention people to figure out.
Possibly, if you need a special scan, you know, you need to be in the ink club, maybe you're less likely to steal, or maybe it's an incentive. Who knows?
I don't like paying more for anything.
So you don't get to self-checkout then.
I mean, maybe they can have you just start unloading the trucks in the back, too.
I guess I'll just
help us stock
revert
the shelves.
To more. I've seen like these delivery services, not necessarily Uber Eats, but they've expanded, too. Instacart, for example, is doing way more than groceries now.
Oh, yeah.
Like
CVS,
you
whatever.
You can get like a Home Depot through Instacart or something. Yeah. I don't Walgreens.
They even have
and that
ones
kind of thing.
Where they'll deliver you alcohol.
Well, not in New Hampshire.
No, not in New Hampshire?
Yeah. And not in Washington State either, because I looked into that. Like that was
in
a business.
In Massachusetts,
That's a business I would have jumped into.
Yeah.
I would have sacrificed.
Well,
I would have worked two jobs. I would have sold all of my musical equipment just to get in on booze delivery.
Yeah.
Get a permit.
Because, first of all, booze is a recession-proof industry. And anytime you can get into a private market with booze, it's a win-win situation. Why?
Hmm.
Because when people are happy, they drink. And when people are sad,
they drink.
Yep. Doesn't matter how people are feeling, they're drinking.
Yep.
So
it's like sports.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Drinking.
Hey. Oh, we finally got a mention in.
No, I
thought
we
were
going
to go the whole
segment.
Yeah. Oh, I did mention about
Yaza.
The green shirt. Yeah. All right. Well, that's okay.
Jeez.
Like, I don't like.
What do you hate? Corned beef?
No, yeah. I just hate.
Have you had it 3 days in a row?
As much as I like drinking, I hate the manufactured drinking holidays.
Right.
St. Patrick's Day.
It's just annoying. Yeah.
Drinko de Mayo.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Right. What's it? Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
Like these are manufactured drinking holidays where the only reason it's a holiday is like anymore is for people to drink. It's not the reason it became a holiday.
Yeah.
Right, but that's all
but
people
that's,
think of it as.
That's
like,
America.
St. Patty's Day, let's go get drunk.
Yeah,
that's America.
And then all these
drinking
people.
Drinking and amateur consumerism.
All,
you know
all
what
these
I mean?
People that, you know, that have no tolerance. They don't drink all the rest of the year. They have two drinks, and now they're wasted, and they can't drive, and they get in everybody's way. It's just, it's bad. It makes all the rest of the humans look bad.
Bad business.
Yeah, because they can't, you know, handle themselves.
But hey, that's, you know, that's the culture. We have drinking holidays. And then there's consumer
sports holidays,
consumerism holidays, you know, so either you need to rack the credit card up, buying all your family all these gifts that they don't need, or get really drunk.
Or watch a lot of sports.
Or watch a lot of sports.
And
that's
drink.
America.
America.
All right. So senior manager of corporate communications at Walmart told Today that customers may see changes to self-checkout lanes. From time to time, our stores adjust the use of staffed checkouts and self-checkouts. For example, a store might start or end the day with staffed checkouts. As the number of shoppers and associate staffing increases, these stores open self-checkout registers to manage the increased customer flow. This process isn't new, Bull said. Now, I got to call BS on this guy because I've never seen this happen. I have been shopping at the peak shopping hour, first of the month stores where all your retirees and your welfare checks and everybody's got money all of a sudden on the first of the month, mm-hmm. but they got two checkers and the self-checkouts closed. So, yeah, they may, he's right, they may open and close lanes in an effort to manage the traffic, but they also may not and frequently don't, in my experience. Bull also said today, or also told the Today Show, or the Today Magazine, that Walmart store managers are permitted to run their store in a manner that works best for their employees and customers. And by that, they mean that which pulls in more dollars. Walmart is not alone in potential self-checkout limits. Target, also known as Target, has also reportedly limited the use of self-checkout. Target customers have expressed concerns on social media over closed self-checkout lanes and not enough cashiers available to check out customers.
It's like the ice cream machine.
Like, this is the whole reason they invented self-checkout.
Yeah.
Right?
Actually, it is, yeah.
They were like, oh my gosh, we can't staff enough people to have regular cashiers at regular checkout to manage the flow. So I guess we'll put in these self-checkout lanes.
Yeah. You think that's why?
That was the original reason self-checkout was invented.
It seems like like if you go to Panera Bread or some of these like fast food places, they'll have the kiosks.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the equivalent of self-checkout.
Like the app, you order what you want on your phone.
Yeah, you can do the app.
The Federal Ice Cream place have the kiosk? The Mick kiosk?
I don't know.
Yeah, I believe they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
It would make sense if they did, but a lot of these places are because, I mean, you're going to Taco Bell. I mean, you can't really customize things. You just click what you want, foolproof, and that way they don't have to.
You don't have to talk to anyone at the drive-thru?
No, the drive-thru is different, but this is if you're going inside to use the kiosk, then they can staff all their people to either run the drive-thru, make the food, and then that's one less person they have to staff.
All right, so I don't know if this has happened yet, but I suspect it's coming. If it hasn't happened yet, I suspect it is on its way. And that is you pull up to a drive-thru. There's no one there. There's no one on the speaker. Nobody goes, right? Yeah, nobody does that. And instead, you just scan like a QR code with your app. And you've already got your order ready to go or whatever. And you're like, okay, I want, blah, blah, blah. I want the number 2 supersize. Yeah.
Hope you have a smartphone.
Right.
With internet.
Yeah.
They
If you don't, it'll say, if you need human assistance, please come inside. Or they'll have a sign.
Yeah, or whatever.
Like
press
that,
this button or something.
So then you pull up to this thing and you put in your order. And then you scan a code and boom, it gets paid out of your crypto wallet,
CBDC.
your PayPal account, your Apple Pay, whatever. There's all these digital apps now for payment, right? Your Cash App, whatever. Right?
Your McMoney.
Yeah, your
McDonald's credits.
Your McWallet.
Your McWallet. Yeah.
And then you pull up to the window and there's no person there either.
It's
just a box with your order in it. And then you go, oh, sweet, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. But I know that speaking of telephony, mm-hmm. a lot of those people who you talk to on the drive-thru aren't even in that McDonald's.
Right. They've outsourced.
Really?
They're at a call center, likely working from home.
Yeah.
Likely also working from home.
Yep.
They've got software in front of them. They're on a laptop.
Are you kidding me?
Not even.
Nope. And they're
mind is blown by this.
Because
I can't even believe that.
The ability to manage telephone traffic has... The technology has increased so much with the advent of digital technology that, they don't need to be at that store to answer your call.
I guess not.
It is a telephone call, right? Even the ones where you see the person and they're on the headset and you know that you're talking to that person.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's still a telephone call. It's a digital
call
going over some sort of fiber optic network.
That's part of the fun of it, you know, you have a conversation with the person when you're ordering. Maybe you crack a joke. Then you get to see them. Yeah, it's like taking the whole time. I'm trying to get a coffee, have some fun with the Dunkin' Donuts employees. Lame.
Yeah, I don't know how many of them are outsourced, but it certainly has been deployed.
Yeah. It makes sense that is a possibility that they'd be able to do that. And I always thought, because I've never worked a fast food job, I've always thought how difficult it must be to have to do that whole multitasking thing, how they can take an order and then also be running the window.
Filling the drinks and
that takes effort.
I worked fast food and I actually recommend if you're young, right? If you're between,
before the burger 16, robots come.
if you're 16 to 25, right, and you need a gig, go work in fast food, even if you hate it, like work there for a month or two, you know, just to get the experience, just to see how the efficiency of the engineering of this food works.
Okay, yeah.
Right? It'll teach you a lot
Might
about...
Might be a good business lesson.
It teaches you a lot about what I like to refer to as signal flow.
Okay,
right?
Cool.
Right, so order comes in, somebody has to look at the order, somebody has to grab the ingredients to make the order, somebody has to prepare, you know, drop the fries, prepare the thing, right? You know, get it all, and then assemble it all. Yeah, and it's like just seeing how it's all engineered is an education in and of itself. Mm-hmm. It teaches... Because, like... These fast food places are not restaurants. They are factories.
Yeah.
Right.
They are factories. So you are learning assembly line, high pressure factory. You're learning assembly line mechanics is what you're learning. You're not learning how to cook food. Right?
Yeah, it's different.
Like you want to learn how to cook food, go to a mom and pop place that specializes in like steaks pizzas or something.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, like learn like where they have a chef employed. Learn from that person. Be an apprentice, work your way up, whatever you gotta do if you want to learn how to cook food. If you want to learn the mechanics of assembly lines, go get a job in fast food just to see what it's like behind the counter.
Would that be like the McMechanics?
The McMechanics.
The McMechanics.
Oh, that's a stretch, Steve. Thanks.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. So at any rate, Target customers have also expressed concerns on social media over closed self-checkout lanes. According to a Target spokesperson, there have been no changes to its self-checkout policy.
So what was the reason they gave again? Because I know we speculated some, but did they give an actual reason besides the new like premium?
Not for Target. No, they didn't give a reason for that. Walmart was the Walmart Plus subscribers.
Okay.
Target has been getting complaints on social media over closed self-checkout lanes, but Target says, we didn't change our policy. So maybe it's the individual
stores or something.
I don't know. It's hard to tell. Retailers say self-checkout lanes make theft easier since no employee is ringing up the items people buy, according to Fast Company. Yeah, but there's always somebody standing there at the Walmart self-checkout, and then there's somebody else on your way out the door who might like ask you for your receipt or look in your bag or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, and they got cameras every frickin' where now.
Yeah.
So if you got a problem with theft, that's on your loss prevention.
No, and that's a great point because, and I know I've talked to people who frequently steal in that fashion.
Yeah.
And it seems to be easy to do. I personally wouldn't do it just because I feel like that's like a low vibe activity and I believe in karma. But you're right, where if they have one or two employees that are kind of assessing, you know, there to help people, whatever, you're on camera, you have somebody at the door. Clearly that system isn't working if people are still able to steal.
Right.
So maybe come up with a better system.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that having people do self-checkout increases the amount of theft. It would be interesting for them to do their own study where they do close down the self-checkout lanes and see what happens to theft over the course of a year or two.
They noticed that it went up because I also heard from, and this is from Aldi's, they said that the Keen Aldi's had more theft. This is, you know, inside scoop from a guy at the Brattleboro Aldi's across the river. But because we were asking, like, oh, why don't you guys have the self-checkout? Like, we love the self-checkout. And he was like, well, you know what? Like, word
theft
on the
in
street.
Brattleboro?
Well, yeah, Keen. He was like, word on the street is that there's, you know, their numbers aren't looking too hot right now ever since, you know, they got the self-checkout. Hmm. So people are slipping things, and that's like food. That's not even like Walmart where you can steal a TV or something. That's more, you know.
Just to play devil's advocate on my own opinion, I know many people who their position on the self-checkout is, no, I'm not your employee.
Yeah.
I don't work here.
I kind of subscribe to that.
I'm not wearing the Walmart vest. You're not paying me money. You know, like
I'm not unpacking the truck. I'm not stacking the shelves. I'm not doing the checkout.
Right. And so,
or I want a discount.
Like they will go, they will avoid the self checkout. Yeah. Not everybody, but like they will avoid the self checkout and go wait in line longer than they have to.
Yeah,
because I don't work here.
Yeah,
right? Like
see, to me, it's not.
It's a valid stance, right?
Yeah,
I'm not saying there's
sure.
Like, it's just not a stance that I share.
Yeah, no, I don't really see it that way. To me, it's not enough of an inconvenience to ring up my own groceries, and especially at a place like Aldi. you're making me bag anyways. Right. And that's their whole shtick is they do these things.
Bags.
No bags.
Quarter in the cart.
In the cart. Yep. They're doing these things to provide you with the cheapest groceries around. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I want my $2 bag of lemons.
Yeah.
Well, that's where you get slowed down, you know, self-checkout. If you have to, like, weigh something and look up the number of the produce.
Aldi's is pretty good about, like, I can't just go buy, most of the time, one avocado. I got to buy a bag of four.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it fast.
You scan
and it's just got a barcode on it, so I can scan it. I don't have to weigh it. I don't have to look it up on, on the machine or whatever. So, yeah, it's interesting. But I'm not a fan of paying more for the privilege of self-checkout.
Well,
I wouldn't personally, but I know some people who are part of that Walmart thing, and this was years ago too, so this isn't necessarily a new thing, but the reason why they were subscribing to this service that Walmart offers was because they wanted the free shipping and they would order their groceries. So it was kind of like a cheap version of Instacart.
Amazon Prime.
Like Prime. But this is like they literally, because Walmart's a little bit different because it's not really delivery.
Right.
There's an employee that they deliver it in bags, in Walmart bags. So it's almost more like comparable to Instacart where you can order a bunch of stuff from Walmart. They have somebody employed by Walmart that...
It's a driver.
You know, it's a driver, and they go pick out your groceries or pick out whatever products you need, and then they drop it off at your house. So for those particular people I'm talking about, they crunched the numbers, and they were like, it's cheaper for us to do this than to even, like, drive and go there take the time.
And for certain, if we're talking about delivery services now, for certain, there's going to be less theft.
Yeah.
Right, because no one's going to accidentally walk out with an extra whatever in their cart that somehow they didn't scan. Right, there is a thing called accidental theft too. Like literally, people are space cadets, right?
Yeah, absolutely,
put something in their cart, right? It's on the bottom
or
whatever. Yeah, it doesn't nothing. Yeah, no alarms go out.
It's underneath.
Yeah, all that kind of a thing. So like, occasionally people steal things without meaning to.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's a very low percentage of their loss, but it does happen. But with delivery, you're going to eliminate all sorts of loss with just having delivery in and of itself. I have once upon a time ordered something from Walmart and had it delivered. I don't remember what it was. It was a large item. It might have been like a futon or something like that. It was in a pretty large box, but I did have it delivered. I don't shop Walmart very often.
No, me either.
But, you know, I have also gone into, what did I get? Oh, I got a camera, one of these like GoPro cameras. I noticed they had one in stock. I needed one for making a music video. I was a camera short, and they had the exact model that I needed that would accept the micro SD cards that I already owned, whatever. And so they had it. They only had one in stock, so I ordered it, and I did the thing where you order it, and then you just show up to pick it up. And so you got to go over to like the special lane and be like, here's my order number, here's my ID. And they're like, oh,
is that faster? It was better.
Just didn't want to I didn't want to go. Like it was.
You wanted
take
to
me
make sure you were going to receive what you wanted.
It was going to take me a few hours to.
Right. You
want to
make sure that you have that when
Walmart.
It's in stock.
So I wanted to buy it when I knew it was in stock. It let the transaction go through.
Yeah.
I assumed that they actually did have it in stock on the shelf, and then sure enough, when I showed up to pick it up, it was there for me, and they'd been holding on to it for several hours.
Yeah.
And so that's why I did that is because I didn't want to chance somebody else randomly walking in, grabbing it off the shelf, and now I can't have my camera. Right.
I mean, it's simple enough like to offer those services, and it's nice for different people because, I mean, Walmart is a huge corporation, right? And a lot of different kind of people are going to Walmart. So curbside pickup, delivery, what you were just talking about where you go in and you pick it up at the service desk or whatever. It's nice to be able to offer different things that fit different people's needs.
Yeah. I do that with Home Depot more often than I do with anywhere else. But then again, and I probably don't do it as much like this very moment because when I bought my property, it needed work. And so I'm constantly doing stuff, constantly buying stuff at the Home Depot because, well, they're the, you know, lowest cost, largest, you know, hardware store in the area. Mm-hmm. And so I do the same thing. I'd buy online. They would pick it for me and hold it, And then I would just show up at some, they'd email me or ping me on the app, be like, your order's ready. Like, oh, sweet. I got to make sure I head on down that way, you know, and then, you know, you make your way over there and you just give them your order number and they're like, yep, here it is. And
Home Depot.
Sometimes they'll even like load it in your car for you.
Yes, if it's big, Home Depot's a great place to do that because Home Depot is so huge. I know if I'm going in there for something, I'm like, I have no clue.
The Home Depot website sucks.
It does.
The app and the website is just built by the lowest bid.
Yeah, I don't like the app at all. The website I can navigate, but only because I'm from the old school of websites where like they were made crappy and you had to figure out how to do it. The only use that I find for the app and the website is, well, ordering, like I said, only if I need to, but finding out what's in stock locally. You can filter down to your store only, right? The one that's closest to you. You can eliminate all the other stores. And it's kind of accurate, at least here, what they actually have on the shelves
in stock.
It also
will tell you it's in aisle 11, bay 7.
Right.
Like you can go aisle 11.
Really?
Yeah, if you look at the product
that's
on
nice
your website.
For directions.
So, like, I'm looking for a fiberglass cutting knife.
Right.
Like, is it in the fiberglass department? No, it's in the tools department. Yeah. That's awesome.
We are out of time. Thank you, Steve Classic. Thank you, Nikki, for joining me tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you to our callers and, of course, all of our listeners. We appreciate you. If you missed any part of tonight's program, please find the archives over at freetalklive.com under the resources tab. Thanks and peace.
You want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate. Well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the realtor Mark Warden.
Now you can learn more about the awesome things happening here in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. Visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.